Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon in all 24 time zones covered by this radio program, which is Coast to Coast AM, and which tonight is solidly into open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. I do have one idea, born of some calls and suggestions I've received that I'll lay out for you in a few moments. We'll cover what's going on in the world. Well, look at this. Nevada filed suit in federal court today after our president approved Yucca Mountain, 90 miles northwest of Las Vegas, as a site for long-term disposal of thousands of tons of highly radioactive nuclear waste. In a letter to congressional leaders, Bush said a disposal site for as much as 77,000 tons of waste building up at U.S. sites is necessary to protect this nation's security. He noted Nevada's expected protest will leave the final decision on whether to proceed up to Congress. Now, it's my understanding that even if it's approved, it won't happen until the year 2010. And we'll see. Canadian, you know, the big Canadian brouhaha, right? Figure skaters, Sammy Sale, David Pelletier were awarded a gold medal today after the judge said she was, quote, under a certain pressure, end quote, to vote for the Russians in the Olympic competition. The judge, Marie-René Lejeune of France, was suspended indefinitely. Justice was done, said Pelletier at a news conference. The Russians weren't ashore. The vice president, Dick Cheney, actually has spoken, has been seen, I guess, and spoken, has vowed to use all means at our disposal to go after anybody, you know, Iraq or any other rogue nation to fight terrorism. So I guess they're setting up to go after the axis of evil. Saudi Arabia has agreed to hand over three suspects it arrested in connection with the brutal slaying of Afghanistan's aviation minister, according to senior Bush administration officials. Let's see what else is going on. The president tomorrow begins a six-day tour to Asian nations, including South Korea, where he will peer through the razor wire at the North Korean state he condemned as part of the axis of evil. He will actually put his little eyes up to the fence and look through. In the Philippines, suspected rebels exploded a grenade near a crowded public market in the southern Philippines on Saturday, killed at least five people, wounded more than 40 others. And that's pretty much the main... This is incredible. This story comes from the Times of India, and it's so incredible that I sent it on to Keith. I haven't told him I sent it on, but Keith, I did send the link on to you, so you might be able to get it up on the website. Check this out. We were bombing in Afghanistan, right? U.S. aircraft over southern Afghanistan have scattered $100 bills tucked into envelopes bearing the picture of George W. Bush, said witnesses on Thursday. We are apparently dropping envelopes with a $100 bill in them and a picture of our president. Now, I'm trying to figure out what the message is here. Some of the envelopes were carried by the wind and fluttered to earth over the Pakistan border town of Shaman, sending people scrambling for the cash. C-130 airplanes dropped white-colored paper envelopes with a photo of President Bush and two bills of $100 each. Oh, two bills, really? They are actually dropping these over areas across the border, but naturally a few were carried by the wind to their side. People pushed and fought each other to get their hands on the envelopes. Envelopes bore no message. No message, just picture of the president. The U.S. aircraft first dropped the envelopes on Wednesday afternoon, then made a second run to drop their paper payloads on Thursday morning. Southern Afghanistan used to be the stronghold, of course, of the vanquished Taliban government. The money was the latest message from the sky, sent by U.S. forces hunting fugitive Saudi-born militant Osama bin Laden and his main Taliban protector, the group's leader, Mohammed Omar. In recent weeks, U.S. aircraft have dropped leaflets over the same area depicting Omar as a dog held on a leash by bin Laden. Another crude cartoon dropped by the U.S. forces showed Taliban leaders as pawns in the hands of bin Laden, playing on a checkered chessboard map of Afghanistan. So we're sending envelopes of money, $100 bills, one or two of them, we're not sure here, floating down over southern Afghanistan, even some of them carried by the wind in Pakistan, only with a picture of our president. Now, I wonder what exact message we're trying to send there. I mean, when you think about it, if you get an envelope with $100 and the president, if you were to get an envelope with $100 and a picture of the president in it, what would you conclude? Give this a little thought. I mean, drifts down and, oh, an envelope. You open it up, and there you, of course, see the $100 bill first, right? And then you're going to look for who sent it, and there's going to be a picture of the President of the United States. I wonder what that means. Somebody sent me something very interesting. You may be interested to know that this will only occur one time. As the clock ticks over from 8.01 p.m. on Wednesday, February 20th, coming up, right? Today is the 15th, so there have been 5 days. On Wednesday, February 20th, 2002, time will, for 60 seconds only, read absolutely perfectly. To be more precise, it'll be 2002, hour, minute, day, month, year. It is an event which has only happened once before and is something which will never be repeated. Never! Now, I have no idea that this means anything important at all. I mean, it may not mean, but it's never going to happen again. Now, how they can know that, I don't know. I guess they can mathematically, you know, somehow, mathematically, they can project that it will never occur again. So, that's 2002, in other words, 8:02, 2002, on 2002, at 2002, or at the year 2002. So 2002. That will only happen once. That is a moment when you may want to stop and think about what it means, which will be hard because I don't have the slightest damn idea what it means. The Kokomo hum. Now, residents in Kokomo, Indiana, are asking help now from their Senator, Richard Lugar, to help figure out what this low-frequency hum that more than 80 people in just one neighborhood alone say causes them to suffer health problems, including headaches, nausea, insomnia. It's all believed caused by the hum. In their opinion, they want federal officials to conduct tests in the area. That's Adam in Indianapolis. Thank you, Adam. My comment would be, it may well be that federal officials are indeed right now conducting tests in the area. Just my opinion, and that could be exactly what you're hearing. I don't know. I've always had this feeling that we're doing a lot underground that we don't... We just don't talk about it. See, what other goodies have I for you? Let me just briefly tell you what I thought we would do tonight. I've been getting calls, or at least one thing. I mean, it's open for anything you want, any direction you want to take the program. Friday night, Saturday. I really look forward to Friday night, Saturday morning. We had some terrific guests on this week. And we've got some terrific guests lined up next week. But Friday night, Saturday morning, I just kind of like to reserve, you know, for all of you. However, there is one thing that I would like to ask about, and I have done this, I think, once before, and I'm doing it for the following reason. I had a man call the other night. You may have heard the call. And he went into quite a detailed story about what his life has been like. And there are any number of times when he should have been dead. D-E-A-D, dead, dead, dead. And he came out of it without mussing a hair. Now, that called to my memory the recent movie with Bruce, I think it was Bruce Willis, wasn't it? Bruce Willis? Yeah, it was Bruce Willis. Remember that? He could not be touched. Unbreakable, it was called. Essentially, essentially, if you're unbreakable, you may be somebody who is never going to die. And there are many people who believe there are people out there who are unbreakable, who have been through disaster after disaster with nothing happening, and in fact are immortals. And so I thought I would ask if, in fact, there are any immortals out there who would like to tell us their story. Now, an immortal may have been around for a very long time. Now, who knows when, how they become immortal? Maybe every now and then somebody's born with a gene with just a little bit of twist. A tiny little genetic twist, that's all it would take after all. The thing about an immortal, though, is they would never, could never say what they are. They would lead a very troubled life indeed. Wives, husbands would come and go, live and die, get older around them. They'd have to keep on the move. They wouldn't be able to tell anybody, lest they'd be cut open like a lab rat to try and find out what makes them so immortal. They'd probably be hated by the mortals, the rest of us. But I've had so many people calling saying, you know, it seems as though I cannot get hurt. Nothing hurts me. I escape disaster and danger on a regular basis without mussing so much as a hair. And so if there are immortals, or if there is a path to immortality out there, I sure would like to know what it is. As much as I would like to know how to travel in time, I'm working very hard on that one, you know. I'd be interested to know if there are any immortals out there. I used to open one line, you know, I gave up on that. So just if you can get through, if you have a response to this question of mine, and you claim you are immortal or unbreakable, depending on what you, I think they're really the same thing, then pick the line that you can get through on and give me a call. We'll do it that way. This was from Jack. I will not give his last name in DeKalb, Illinois, suggesting that we ask exactly that question. Pretty good question, I would say, Jack. Now, from Reuters, some 66 tons of floating dead fish have so far been recovered from the shallow waters sandwiched between Rio's oceanic beaches and forested mountains. Summer heat produced a lot of algae, they say, which apparently starved the fish of oxygen. No oxygen, according to the Rio State Environmental Secretary. They deny the fish were killed by pollution, adding that the problem was aggravated by rapid breeding of the fish in the shallow, murky water, but they died because they didn't have oxygen. And, you know, that really does call to mind what the microbiologist was saying on the program last night about the ozone layer and the little creatures, you know, the basic ones that live in the water and produce, he says, and on land, and produce, he says, over 90% of the oxygen. Now, if we begin to see things dying in the ocean because they don't have oxygen, then we might want to be a little bit concerned, I would suggest to you. All right, we've got the unknown. I have no idea what's coming up on Open Line Nights. One never knows until one pushes a button and opens the lines, and that's what we're about to do.
Coast to Coast AM is happy to announce that our website is now optimized for mobile device users, specifically for the iPhone and Android platforms. Now, you'll be able to connect to most of the offerings of the Coast website on your phone in a quick and streamlined fashion. And if you're a Coast insider, you'll have our great subscriber features right on your phone, including the ability to listen to live programs and stream previous shows. No special app is necessary to enjoy our new mobile site. Simply visit coasttocoastam.com on your iPhone or Android browser. Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, As a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I argue with people about disclosure time and time again. I've told them governments are not going to come out willingly to tell us it's going to happen by a mistake, it's going to happen by a whistleblower, but it's not going to be an organized thing. Governments won't do that. And the reason why they won't do it is because they do not want us to know. They think that they'll lose control of us if we know. If you actually truly believe that we were being visited by extraterrestrials and you had categorical proof that it was happening, do you think you would listen to some of the bull that government throws out all the time? Absolutely not. You'd look toward the heavens, you'd say there's got to be a better way, and you would start doing your own thing. And you would forget all about government control and everything else. So the bottom line is, government will never, ever disclose the true facts of UFOs.
Now we take you back to the night of February 15th, 2002. On Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
You know, there are some people with some odd thinking out there. Maybe you're one of them. This person, I believe, is one of them. He doesn't really write his name, so people who write stuff like this never write their name. He says, Art, you obviously don't know a police state when you see one. Or maybe you're part of it. To keep our attention on little green men while America disappears, God forbid you should ever use power for good, because who the hell knows what good is, huh? Whew. Slash. Boy, I feel slashed. Well, let me tell you something, unnamed person. Yes, I have. I do know what a police state is, and yes, I have lived in a police state, and I know very well what a police state is, sir. I've been to plenty of police states. Trust me on this, plenty of police states. The very worst, actually. And so I know what a police state is, and I submit to you that you don't. If you think the extra security that America's taking right now to see to it that people don't get blown up in midair and crashed into buildings or poisoned or, you know, have something awful rain down on them, if you think that kind of security means that you're in a police state, then, brother, I suggest to you that you really do go visit a police state. China would be good. Go to China. That's a good one. Then you'll find out what a real police state is. No, we don't live in a police state. We live in America. It's the best country on the face of the earth. And yes, we always have a tendency in reaction to almost anything to go a little too far. And no doubt in this case, you know, we will go a little too far. I've documented a couple of cases where I thought that's already occurred. But police state? Huh. Brother, you don't know what a police state is. I throw this back on you, the curse of the talk show host back on you. Go find out what a real police state is before you accuse me of ignoring one all around us. No, this is not a police state. A police state is like pornography. You'll definitely know it when you see it. Trust me. I've got a very interesting letter here from somebody who really did work at Area 51. And I am tempted to read it. It could have come from the information agency, I'm sure, up there. Maybe I will as the hour proceeds. That mysterious rash, I've got to get this in. CNN was airing about an hour ago a very interesting story. We talked last night with the microbiologist we had on. Boy, was he good. Boy, was he good about various things. And I asked him about the mysterious rash showing up in schools, mainly. But tonight, CNN is saying this mysterious rash, which they have, and by the way, they have no idea what it is. They say that scientists, microbiologists, are scratching their heads. Cute little pun, huh? But the mysterious rationale, check this out, folks, is appearing in Pennsylvania, New York, West Virginia, Virginia, Ohio, Oregon, and Washington. So, from the east to the west coast, we've got something or another that's new here, and it causes itching everywhere. Not just scratching one's head, but one's entire torso. It shows up on the legs, the arms, the torso, everywhere, of some kind of horrid little mysterious rash. Pennsylvania, New York, West Virginia, Virginia, Ohio, Oregon, and Washington. Every day lately, something new. Well, how about it? Any immortals out there? Unbreakables out there? I'm sure as the night progresses, we'll find out. It's open nights all night long tonight. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
Any unbreakable, possibly even immortal people out there? Do you suspect you may be one of them? That'd be an interesting subject to explore tonight. And if you are immortal, pray tell, how long have you been around? And what's it like? Is it something to be happy about? Or is it the curse, truly, of the ages?
Now we take you back to the night of February 15th, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Shall we begin? Into the night we go. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm okay.
Well, this is Dean calling from Tampa, Florida.
Hi, Dean.
Yes, sir. You had spoke of the Unbreakables.
That's right. I did so because I began getting calls. One of them might have been from you, Dean. Did you call about that?
No, sir, I didn't, actually.
Okay, well, some other people have, and they have been through so many tragedies that should have killed them so dead, and they just came out without a hair must, you know, and that made me remember Unbreakable, and if you're unbreakable, then you're probably immortal. What's your situation?
Well, sir, in fact, we've spoken of this before, in fact, in fact, the first time I was aware of it, well, was when I was 4 years old, and I'll make this brief as far as the timeline, but the first time I was aware of it, I was in Key West, Florida, and I saw, so much of a vision, you might say, of almost an angelic kind of vision when I was 4 years old, and at the time I hadn't even seen a TV, so it was kind of one of those more of a surprising wide awakening moments. Then a year later, I was given a brief movie, almost a time splice in space, as I was looking up at it, as I was sitting there swinging at a swing set in a private kindergarten, sir. I can remember it was almost as real as just you and I talking here. It was that real, I could feel it. What happened then shortly thereafter, sir, when I was 7 years old, I can remember I was at a public pool, And a little boy that I was there watching with my family, he had actually wound up driving off into the deep end. Well, amongst all the people who were there, none of them saw him except for me. And with the assistance, you might say, of something other than I can't really put into mere words, I was, carried literally to that pool, put into the pool to save this little boy's life. And as I remember going down, I can remember feeling the presence of something else besides myself and this child in the pool.
Oh, that's odd. Where were you physically at the time? Were you at poolside?
I was sitting next to poolside, and when he dropped into the pool, he just walked out of a little children's pool. And it was back in the 70s when people didn't realize that you shouldn't put the child's pool next to the deep end.
All right.
And I can remember, and sir, it was a slow-motion movie. I can see it as real as today. And this
so something put you in there.
Yes, sir. Exactly. And that's probably the last thing I remember as I was going down, because I can remember lifting him up, but as I was going down, something else was reaching below. And at that time, it was just me and the little boy in the water. And yet, shortly thereafter, it was 6 months later, sir, that I can remember I was swimming out on a rocky reef, and this was in the same part of Florida. And my father and another friend of his were out. They were scuba diving, and at the time, sir, I was the man from Atlantis. I mean, I lived in the water. I loved it. I remember going off about 100 yards off the water, and suddenly I remember just feeling a fear, sir, that I've never felt before in the water. Suddenly I was seized, and I just remember dropping straight like a rock, and the last thing I see is something almost light, almost something reaching down towards me, and at the time there was nobody around. And the next thing I remember, I'm laying there on the beach, and I'm like literally 100 yards away from where I was, and I'm just laying there going...
All right. So in a way then, you're thinking you are unbreakable, but by virtue of something that's watching over you?
Yes, sir. And in fact, I'll make this brief by saying that I had a couple other experiences later on in life where literally I saw literally the people that were watching me. In fact, one night as I spoke to you about a story, and I remember, and I know a lot of callers that, or listeners to your show that have listened to your ghost-to-ghost story.
Yes.
I told you the story of Clarity.
Oh, yes, I recall.
Yes, sir. Well, that's
all right. Well, that's a whole different.
Exactly.
Area,
well,
but you really think though that those same forces.
I think a lot more people, and then they truly realize have people like that around them, and I think we're all surrounded by people either from our own past or from people that are perhaps, goes like the old haunted house theory. I think there are many levels of awareness and actually where we are as far as different existence of life, and I think we all kind of bump into them. And I think the invisible friends of children are a lot of times the people that are wandering around here perhaps before they make it to the next sign.
That may well be. Thank you very much. And I'm sure there are many who feel that way, as though they are unbreakable, not by virtue of the fact that they're actually unbreakable, but by virtue of the fact that something or somebody is watching over them. And it may be true. It really may be true. I sometimes there is no other way to account for the fact that people walk away from things that are totally impossible to walk away from. In fact, we had a car crash here in Pahrump recently, and all that was left of this automobile that hit a pole doing, 70 or 80 or whatever the speed was, and there was nothing left. No, nothing left of the car. It was just when you were a kid and played with aluminum, you just crushed it all up. That's how it was. And yet, both of these men survived impossibly, absolutely impossibly. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Yeah, I can relate to the other caller. I feel like sometimes I have 9 lives, like a cat.
Yes.
But I've, I was my first car when I was younger, I was hit broadside by an 18-wheeler. I mean, the car was crunched. And, right where my left arm, it should have been, like, crushed. You know, I had no injuries, just a slight scuff, and I was sore for a day. But
good Lord, after an 18-wheeler,
yes,
broadsides you or head on or
broadsided?
Oh my God! And so it crushed in your side.
Yes,
your arm should have been gone then.
Exactly, but
Can you? Of course, at times like that, it's like time freezes.
Yes,
I understand that. But can you remember any intervention? Can you remember anything odd about that instant, that moment, that could account for it?
Well, I remember just being terrified and thinking this is it, that I was going to die, because after the truck hit me, I was going, I was kind of pitched from the momentum in the car, and I kept expecting the car to just fold up around me, but it didn't.
I wouldn't know how to account for that. Anything else?
Well, let's see, a couple of years ago I was living in Boston, and I, you know, a car turned into my path while I was on my bicycle, and I just basically got thrown several feet and just rolled and got up without a scratch and wasn't even sore.
Have you ever wondered yourself if you might be do you get colds and the flu and stuff like that?
Not really. I get the beginnings of a cold, but I get over it within about 2 days, and with each year they get less and less, and nowadays I'll just get a scratchy throat and then I'll be over it with no other symptoms.
I have suspected that there were people like you out there.
Yes, I don't think I'm immortal, but I do think I have an extended lifespan. I'm 42 years old, but people routinely will mistake me for late 20s. I've had several near-drowning experiences.
If you were to find that, in fact, you do have some form of immortality, yeah, and it, of course, if you're really virtually unbreakable, it's a kind of immortality, how would you feel about that? I mean, I guess, really, in most ways, right now, it's good.
Well, in some ways, it's good because, you know, I still feel like there's a lot of things I would like to do in life. I'm kind of a late bloomer, but it kind of all just kind of fits. It seems like I'm growing up a little bit slower, but I'm living longer, too. I don't know if that makes sense. The hard part would be, I think, if there wasn't anyone else. Cause
well, the hard part would be seeing those you love come and go.
Exactly. Yes. I've had several friends die at a young age, so I've already had to deal with that anyway, but just...
Well, you stay in touch with me, all right?
I will. Yeah.
I want to know more.
I'll keep you posted, but,
all right,
you know, it's been interesting.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Yes, I had a feeling that there were people out there like this. They, for the most part, of course, under normal circumstances, would not admit it. And I would advise you, by the way, if somebody came to me and said, Art, you know, and they have, this is my condition, and I am virtually unbreakable and or immortal, whatever, however you want to look at it. And I've received some very serious private inquiries about this sort of thing, as you can imagine. That's another reason I'm talking about it tonight. And I have advised these people not to seek publicity, not to make themselves public for a lot of what I consider very obvious reasons. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Western Oregon. I'm
okay.
Alan, a self-enlightened guy.
Yes, sir.
And I've had the recent pleasure of discovering your show in the past few weeks, and I cut Mel's Hole, part one, and shortly thereafter, part two.
Yes, wasn't that something? Well, replaying part one is what got us part two.
Yes, and I for one, am very grateful. I thought, how curious. Being in Western Oregon, I'm only about 4 hours away from Yakima.
Uh-huh.
And so close examination is at hand, and I like that. But I put much thought into it, and I've been listening to the rest of your shows, and I wanted to bring up something and tie in the other thing, other shows that pertain.
Sure.
I believe, quite possibly, Mel's Hole could be connected with those cities that they found that have been underwater for about 1,150 years.
Or much longer,
11,500.
11,500, yes.
Right, for that possible early civilization as far as you were talking is their technology. And this is something I, like you, I'm a skeptic. I don't take anything 100%, but I sure like to look at the possibilities.
So do I.
And if they did indeed have a technology like that, something like Mel's Hole, whatever it is,
might be connected,
would be a technology
that we don't understand, that to us would appear magic.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the properties he described as far as the burning ice and the most imagination staggering thing of the small creature coming out of the sheep.
Yeah.
That I'd probably say 6 months ago, there is no way I could believe it. But through, I don't know, like I said, I'm a self-enlightened guy. I meditate every single night, just trying to discover the secrets of life and the universe, as it were.
Well, one thing that I've sort of come to understand or maybe believe is that the inner part of the Earth is something we really don't know about. We really, really, really don't know about it. We think we know. We do models and computer models and that sort of thing, but we really don't know what's down there.
Now, wasn't the second hole in northern Nevada?
Yes, that's right.
And
right.
Isn't that where Bush wants to start dumping nuclear waste here?
No, that's just further north than that.
Is it a little further north? Good, good. Yeah. I'm worried about that. I think that the government would probably know what those are because of...
Hey, you know, you might have just hit on something. I wonder if the government wanted Mills Hole in the first place because it was it represented a possibility for dumping nuke waste.
That is a possibility, but I haven't heard of them... You know, I think that they would have known what it was before, and I would think that they possibly have other ones under their control already.
With our luck,
or else
sir,
they wouldn't have moved on that one so fast.
It could, yeah, could be. With our luck, I'll tell you something. We would we'd start dumping nuclear waste down something like Mel's Hole, and the whole hollow Earth theory would turn out to be true, and there'd be some civilization down there. And when it began to rain radioactive pellets on them, boy, would they be pissed. Probably declare war on us. We've become part of the axis of evil. Well, you know, the truth is, though, that we don't know a lot about the inner Earth. We think we know. And geologists would say, oh, yes, well, we know exactly what's down there. No, we don't. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is John. I listen to you on 570 WFLA.
Yes, sir. How you doing, John?
Well, I'm doing real good. I heard you mention a while ago about this itch.
This rash that is showing up, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, when you said that, I just felt like maybe I ought to call. I've never called before. I've been expecting something like this to begin happening, and I think this is from the what happened in New York on September 11th.
Or it could be something else. I mean, right now, the scientists have no idea what it is. They say it might be a new virus. They don't have a clue. And so you never know. You just, you know, it involves children in school a lot. So that part of it is scary. And it's all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. It's pretty odd stuff.
Yeah. My feeling was it was kind of like a volcano, that was such a catastrophe. You know, when a volcano goes off, it throws all this stuff in the air, and it will actually get caught up and go all the way around the world. And I think something like this is beginning to happen with the particles and all the chemicals and things that were thrown into the air during that tragedy up
there.
Well,
I guess you can't really rule anything out, including that, but it sounds more like they're suspecting a virus. Some sort of virus. Now, the air they have measured, did you know the air in New York, after the World Trade Center catastrophe, it was the worst air ever measured, and that includes even the oil fires in Kuwait that were set by the Iraqis at the end of the war. Even to include that, and that was horrible. So the air quality was even worse than that. So you certainly couldn't rule it out with regard to New York, but I'm not so sure that, like a volcano, it would have spread as far west as Ohio, and certainly Oregon, Washington. This sounds like something else, but who knows? A wild card line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay, sir. Where are you?
I'm outside of Springfield, Missouri.
Okay.
And I was just responding to the thing that you guys are talking about the immortal stuff.
Yes.
I happen to grow up with a guy who was kind of a very strange individual.
Oh.
He was in the neighborhood, and he wasn't quite right, but this guy had been shot in the head at point-blank range.
Oh?
Because he was, it was attempted carjacking. He was in a convertible, and they came up and just attempted to blow his brains out at a close range with a .357 Magnum.
That would do it, all right.
Well, he actually lived.
Huh?
The same guy actually got blown up by his gas grill.
What?
Yeah, his gas grill exploded.
Yes, and?
And he lived through that. Yeah, it's really strange, man. I'm telling you. You know, these type of things are just not. He was also hit by a train.
Now, wait a minute. All the rest of it, possible. But when you get hit by a train, you're done.
Well, that's what you think. He was trying to, you know, like the barriers to come down when he tried to run through it and actually tried to, like, beat the train, and he got carried down the track, like, some 300 feet or so.
Oh, my God.
The stop, and the guy is still living.
No. You mean like Wile E. Coyote, man. Boom, plastered against the train.
He's the only person. Matter of fact, when I seen that Bruce Willis movie, I was thinking of that guy, because I was like, he's the only person I've ever known that's had those type of things happen. Kind of strange, you know?
That's not only strange. That may be exactly what we're talking about here. Do you know what became of him?
Well, I haven't seen him in, I don't know, probably five or six years now, because I moved away. This guy actually lived in Texas.
Well, I've been giving this some thought, and if there was somebody like the person you're describing, they couldn't stay in one place for too long, because people would begin to catch on.
Yeah, I haven't
kind of the way
away.
You know, kind of the way you caught on.
Yeah.
So they'd constantly be on the move, and they'd probably every now and then have to virtually establish an entire new identity in life.
Yeah, I just thought it was really strange. This person, I actually kind of was, you know, kind of feared actually, because everybody knew the things he went through, and you know, everybody was kind of scared of this guy because they thought he was, you know, there's no point in, you know, getting in a fight with this guy because you're not going to hurt him, you know? That was kind of the...
No, and he's probably going to hurt you. the train thing, that's over the top.
Yeah.
You're really sure about that?
Oh, yeah, I'm positive about that, yeah. I mean, there's people that get killed yearly trying to run, you know, outrun trains, but...
I know, but actually getting smacked by one, like Wile E. Coyote, as I said, and then you said 300 feet...
Yeah, they said some 300 feet down the track before the train was able to actually come to a stop. And the guy
walks away.
Yeah, he walked away.
See, I think these people are out there.
Yeah, I don't know. That makes you think, you know.
Would you want to have that? Would you want to be immortal?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think you're just rationalizing because you're not? Nah, I don't want to be immortal. But if you really had the opportunity to be immortal and unbreakable, would you turn that down, really?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, it might start its own new set of, you know, consequences, I guess you could say. You know what I mean?
Oh, it definitely would do that.
Side effects or, you know, something. It has to be with something.
It would definitely do that, trust me. After last night's guest saying that if you can hang for the next 20 years, 10 or 20 years, they will deliver with genetics, they will deliver immortality unto us. So it may be on the way anyway. But it just may be that those of us who make it... We'll join the others who already have it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
Distinction.
Do not touch. Pedro is my name.
Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired February 15th, 2002.
Such a haunting song for a haunting subject. Immortality. Unbreakability. That's even a word. We'll get back to it all in a moment.
Dreamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
See, I think there are more secrets out there. I think Fannie, Freddie, the banks are probably in deeper trouble than we are led to believe.
You have to either say these are just incompetent people, or they're following an ideology, or maybe even more nefarious, a game plan.
That's what I think is happening. I don't think that they're stupid people. I think they have a different agenda than we do.
Now we take you back to the night of February 15th, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Back now into the night. Immortality, is it possible? Yes, it probably is. As we have every other sort of genetic variation in the human genome, we probably have that variation as well. And so there probably are those who are virtually unbreakable, or if you wish, immortal. Open lines. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
This is Charles, deep in the heart of Willie and Waylon country.
Hey, Charles.
I had a... An incident happened to me in the late 70s. I'd had a few premonitions as a teenager coming up. But I lived in an old farmhouse on 50-something acres south of LaGrange.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get up in the mornings and had one of those big claw-footed bathtubs. I'd get in there and, you know, lay in there and try to wake up, get ready to go to work.
Sure.
And one morning I'm laying there minding my own business. Had the radio on sort of low in the other room. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, in the middle of my head, from the very center of my brain, I heard a loud voice that I'd never heard before. And it's not a familiar voice, and it said, there's going to be a plane crash, a major tragedy. And I looked around, I thought, you know, what is this, who is this, and where is it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of thought, well, this is pretty morbid. So I pushed it back, and it went away. I got up, went on to work, went about my business, and sort of forgot about it. Well, the next morning, the same thing happened, except it was a little louder.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of, that really got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought to myself, well, where is this going to happen? And this voice said, O'Hara Airport, Chicago, Illinois. And I thought again, man, this is too weird, this is morbid, and it sort of scared me, and I went to work. Well, next morning it happened again, but it was louder than ever, and so I played it along a little more, and it said it's going to be the most tragic accident in history. Again, it said Chicago, again it said O'Hara, and so by this time, I was getting a little concerned about it. And I happened to tell my best friend at work about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, you know, he just sort of blew it off. And anyway, he invited me home for dinner that night. And as soon as we walked in the door, his wife, before we got in the house, she said, did you hear about the big airplane crash?
Mm-hmm. And, what happened to you is precognition. I had one instance in my life of it also. And I cannot tell you what brings it on. I can't make it happen. It's never happened since. I presume it probably hasn't happened to you since.
Well, I had a little bit after that, but I never heard this voice from the center of my head again.
Mm-hmm.
I think what sort of triggered it, I'll make it real quick. What sort of triggered that? Because people trying to always try to figure out a trigger in some of this. And two or three days before this started happening, I heard on the news that there was a major airline that was on strike. And they were explaining how the other airlines were having to take up the slack.
Right.
And I happened to think to myself, man, that's going to be really hard on all those other aircraft. They're going to have to really keep up the maintenance on those, or there could be something bad go wrong.
Right. No, that makes sense. And again, what you experienced is precognition, and it's real. Without hesitation, without any caveat whatsoever, I can tell you it's real. I can't begin to tell you what it is, where it comes from, why it comes, what causes it, and why it never comes again, and why you can't make it happen. I can't tell you any of that, but I can tell you it's real. Happened to me only once. Wasn't a voice in my head. It was, I will compare it with gigantic crashing ocean waves that kept sweeping over me, telling me my car was going to be hit. And I won't bore you all with the story. Needless to say, after about three of these waves crashed over me, I went out and looked and watched some guy walk down the sidewalk, get in his car, put it in reverse, and hit my car. So, you know, they do happen, but they're absolutely inexplicable. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Ann in Springfield, KWTO. Keep watching the Ozarks.
Yes, ma'am.
I hope you and Ramona received my photo I sent you of my African lioness I emailed you a couple of months ago.
You know, I think we did, yes.
Cool. All right. Well, I seem to possess this strong life force that has enabled me to survive several bizarre and dangerous situations. Back in 1975, during Labor Day weekend in Tulsa, I had invented a process of transferring anyone's photo into the fibers of a T-shirt in 5 minutes. I had just returned home after being out of town for about an hour. After I returned, my business partner called and said, I'm going to pick you up and we'll go do an order. I said, cool. So he picked me up in his Corvette convertible to go to a club in Tulsa to take a large order for T-shirts.
Right.
When I got into the Corvette, the fastened seatbelt light came on and an internal voice said, do not fasten the belt. So I didn't fasten the belt.
Huh.
I didn't know he'd been drinking. We got on the Skelly Bypass in Tulsa and proceeded to drive 115 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
We hit the guardrail. It threw both of us out at 110 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it was about 11 o'clock at nighttime on Labor Day weekend on a Saturday night. There was lots of traffic. The incoming traffic should have killed me alone, much less the, you know.
Where did you land?
Landed on the pavement right there on the road, and I should have been hit by oncoming cars.
Aye, aye, aye.
I survived with minimal scratches.
Now, that's impossible.
110 miles an hour. And I can email you the accident report. It was awesome.
Please do that, by
I'll
all means. And there's more, I take it?
Well, many other situations, but I just have guardian angels, and I'm not afraid to go on when it's my turn to go.
Do you think that's what it is?
A guardian
angel?
Several. I take several. I require several.
You require several. Okay, well, thank you very much for the story, and I'll look for the accident report.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody who is thrown out of an automobile at 110 miles an hour and lands on pavement with oncoming traffic and doesn't get killed has, at the very least, a guardian angel. At the very least. How do these things happen? How can that possibly be? And she wasn't even the drunk one. She said the driver was drunk. And usually it's the drunks that somehow live through these incredible things. Maybe because they're so loose and they don't tend to... I don't know. Who knows? There's a million theories about it, and there's no way to really know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi. Where are you?
Connor from Tampa.
Yes.
Listen to you on 970.
WFLA.
You got it.
Okay.
I was in a car accident about 7 years ago.
You too, huh?
Unfortunately, I am paralyzed, but the car accident, which doesn't make me quite unbreakable, but the car accident, what was left of the truck, you could not make a beer can out of, and I was thrown from the vehicle, and I survived with just a cut on my head, a slight scar on my arm, and my back was not broken, just the vertebrae slipped out, and kinked the spinal cord slightly and slipped back.
And so you are paralyzed?
I am paralyzed, yes. from the nipples down.
Well, unfortunately, that certainly is not unbreakable.
Not unbreakable, but a few accidents.
But how about lucky to be alive?
How about lucky to be alive and a few accidents before that? And I was number one in the nation in martial arts before that.
Oh.
And had lived through a few... I'm a small guy, super lightweight fighter, and fought a lot of the bigger guys that should have, like, knocked me through the walls, let's, shall we say, and survived many of those punches.
Well, there's a lot of work going on right now on the kind of injury you have, and maybe your function will be delivered back to you soon.
I hope so. Can I say two things to you?
Yes.
One, you left this topic open for a lot of Highlander fans. And second, you were just talking about the LED lights, and I just happened to be playing with mine on the Super Pacing Radio.
Oh, the LED light. Aren't they amazing?
They are. This is the best gift I've ever gotten, and ever since you have been talking about it, I've bugged. My birthday just passed, and I've bugged my twin brother to death to get me this radio while they still had it for $99.95.
Good for you.
They're
gone now, so you got one while they were hot in there. Thank you, my friend. Take care. Yes, they are amazing. LED lights are amazing, period. I think that very soon the old-fashioned flashlight is just going to pass from existence. You know, the bulbs, the big current draw, the batteries, all the rest of it is just going to sort of pass from existence, and people will no longer use them. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Art?
Yes, that would be me.
How you doing?
All right.
I've got a theory in life. I believe when you come in, you pick a certain scenario, and if you get away from that scenario, something steps in and puts you back in that scenario.
In other words, you are pre-programmed.
That's pretty much, yeah. And I was told when I was younger that I had... guardian angel that kind of kept me on that track, and there was quite a few things that happened in my life. A couple of them was a musician, and I fell off a bandstand backwards about 7 feet, and I was in a chair, and I should have cracked my head on the cement. And I thought at the time that I floated. Everybody come running down. They expected me to be dead, you know. Well, the next day, I'm talking to somebody who saw me fall, from another vantage point, and they said, it looked like you floated. And I said, I thought I floated. And they said, well, how did you manage that? And I said, I don't know. Another time, my life was saved by a pile of metal in a shop that just suddenly collapsed, and I would have been a grease spot on the cement. But three people who were watching said that, and I couldn't remember what had happened, but they said that I had moved, but like a cutout picture, if you know what I mean.
Really?
Nothing on me moved. It's just that I shifted about 3 feet.
Really?
And I was a blur, and it came crashing down. And it was their description, not mine, that came to that conclusion. I've come to the conclusion that it is a scenario. There's one guy who wrote about he tried to kill himself about seven or eight times. Finally, he decided to jump off a 10-story building.
Yeah.
He ends up on a car going underneath, and he pancakes on top, and he ends up in a hospital, all broken bones. And he says, if there's one thing I've learned, you're not leaving this life until it's time.
Yeah, after 8 tries, I would say,
and so I
the lesson.
I just, I'm about 70 now. Looking over my life, I've come to the conclusion that it is programmed.
Maybe those people who do succeed, you know, with suicide or whatever.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be, and that was their time. And if you've got a very good point, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Take care. Very good point. Everything may have a predestination to it. Now, I've always wondered about that. Who are we to know? Everything may be, in a sense, predestined, and if it is not predestined to be your time, virtually no matter what happens, it's not going to be your time. I guess that's an age-old thought, huh? But does that translate to virtual unbreakability, and in some very rare cases, possibly immortality? Could be. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I think I might have some insight into this immortality stuff.
Where are you?
This is Alan from Bakersfield.
Fire away.
Okay. I have discovered a parasite that infects the human body.
Oh?
I call it the common acne parasite.
Acne?
Yes.
As in acne when you're a teenager?
That's it.
Yeah? The common acne parasite.
Well, what it is, the parasite lives between the skin and the dermis.
Right.
And it attaches itself to your skin by the use of these acne, blackheads we call them.
Uh-huh, blackheads, oh yeah.
Yeah, and it All causes right. everything from back ailments to corns to cancer.
Well, what does that have to do with immortality?
Well, if you get rid of the thing, you probably are immortal.
Oh. Well, I said, well, my mama popped lots of blackheads. She used to chase me around the house. Pop my blackheads.
Well, and once you get, if you'll notice.
So, but you probably got to get rid of every last little one, huh?
Huh?
You got to pop every last little one.
No, what you have to do is, if you'll notice, every place you have a wrinkle in your face, you'll have a line of blackheads.
Let me check.
It's a fact.
Well, I'm going to check.
If you remove the blackheads, your age will disappear.
Let me look at my. Yeah, I could see a few I could go to work on here.
I'm 63.
Yes.
And I discovered the things about 5 years ago.
And how old do you look now?
How old was I then?
No, no. How old do you look now?
Oh. How old am I now?
No, no. How old do you look now?
Oh, I look about 50.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. And I'm very able. Did you begin to get younger as you popped your final blackhead?
I got rid of my corns. I got rid of tinnitus. I got rid of the arthritis in my hands. This is real.
You may be onto it. Well, I never considered that blackheads could be the key to immortality. And I just know because my mom did. She used to chase me around the house. Can we get past that thing? No, no. I'd run around. She'd run after me, and she'd finally get me and pin me down and pop those suckers. She must have missed one or two. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Susan from Colorado.
Hey, Susan.
And I'm trying to get my radio to stop.
Well, turn it off. The volume is the way to do it. Turn it all the way down.
I'm here.
Good.
Sorry.
Good. All right.
Okay. I fast blasted you, and I was just calling about Cece the cat.
Oh, the new Cece kitten, the cloned cat, yes.
Absolutely. I was kind of shocked about the rich eccentric that was doing that study just so he could rip people off to make clones of their beloved pets. And
well,
then
that
have
wasn't necessary. It's not necessarily a ripoff. I mean,
well,
if you want a clone of your pet and you've got the bucks and you're willing to do it, then, hey, more power to you.
But then when they die 5 or 6 years after you've only had them that time, then, you know, that's still...
Well,
anyway, that's an ethical thing that we won't get into. But
right.
I was calling because in the article it mentioned that the hair coat, the pattern was a little different, but that's not related to genetics.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
On the kitten, it said that the hair coat
was a little bit different. Yes. Listen, can you hold on during the break?
Sure.
All right, well then, stay right where you are. Yes. Note that little kitty. Look in its eyes. I think we've still got the story up there. I'm not sure. Blank little carbon-copied eyes. Oh, this cloning thing, folks. It is upon us. I'm Art Bell, and this, of course, is Coast to Coast AM. Belated Valentine's for my dear wife. That's what this song is.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
How did I got your love? Thank you.
shall the scent of a sand or the strength of an oak roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in the meadow and hear the grass sing. That all these things in our memories haunt and they use them to help.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
Well, we're kind of kicking around the concept of unbreakability and immortality. And anything else you want to do, open lines, Friday night, Saturday morning, have a laid-back end-of-the-week deal. What a week today, this week we've had, eh? And next week will be no slack either. Boy, if we've got some stuff coming up for you. Don't forget around the 21st, on the 21st, actually, Eric Burden is going to be here. That should be very, very interesting. He knows a whole lot about what happened to Jimi Hendrix. You don't want to miss that one.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
Now, by the way, if you missed the beginning of the program, the U.S. is dropping envelopes on southern Afghanistan. And I might add some areas of Pakistan where they're carried. The envelopes contain $100 bills or $200 bills. I'm not sure. It says both. And a picture of George Bush. Now, for those who just refuse to believe that we're doing such a thing, I told you I sent this to Keith. And if you'll go to my webpage under What's New and just go up instead of down and click on news and other websites, the very first thing that will strike you is a story entitled U.S. Planes Rain Dollars on Afghanistan. Our dollars. They're bombing Afghanistan with $100 bills and pictures of the President of the United States. I'm trying to think of why we're doing that. And it hasn't yet occurred to me why we would do that. $100, George Bush, $100, George Bush, $100, George Bush. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Susan.
Yes.
And we were talking about Cece.
Yes, the beautiful, actually beautiful little kitten. Yes.
Just adorable.
Yes.
But I don't believe that the hair coat difference is not okay, let me start that over. I think hair coat is genetic. And they wrote in the article that it's not genetically linked.
Right.
And so I think they had an error.
A little CC error?
Yes, because I worked in a vet hospital that was all cat practice for 5 years, and that's what the breeders want, is the genetics to
produce exactly the same coat
or
and markings.
Yeah,
and,
they, you know, they sit and figure out if they breed this cat to this cat, what are the coats going to possibilities and
right, but cloning is a whole different ball game.
But it would be, there's only one genetic link, but it would still, it just didn't make any sense to me. So I didn't know if anybody else had any ideas on it.
Yeah, they do mention that in the article. I presume you read the article, right?
Yes, I
did. When you had it up there, okay.
I'm the cat person that calls anytime you talk about cats. So.
Yeah, you're either a cat person or you're not.
Yes, that's correct.
And strangely, if you're a cat person and you have, of course, you have cats, When you call them, they never come. But have you ever noticed when a person comes to your house who hates cats, and there's plenty of those, oh, they hate them.
Yes, well, I was the
one... cat goes directly to that person's lap.
Right. I'm the one whose cat talked to you on the radio the other night.
Oh, I remember. I remember, yes.
Kent.
Kent, yes, okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else with any talking animals, I am absolutely open. There's another one we can do tonight. Any of you have any animals that would like to speak with me tonight? Hmm? Does your animal talk? Do you have the equivalent of Ed? Bring him forth. You know, what we've noticed, though, is now, of course, it could be because your animal really can't talk, or it could be that when you shove a telephone in their snouts, they just become disinterested in, you know, doing what they do. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Chris in Satellite Beach, Florida. How you doing?
Okay, Chris.
My dad is an unbreakable. I would consider him that anyway.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, he's 70 years old, and he's been through an amazing number of health-related issues. Probably the most dramatic of which was he used to be a truck driver, and he was thrown from the truck because of some bad wheel mountings and hit by a car.
Oh, my God.
Laid up in traction for a while, but he's 100% fine today. After that, got bladder cancer, recovered. Had a stroke that caused an aphasia, recovered.
Hmm.
He had a botched hernia surgery that he went back to another doctor a year later. The doctor said, hey, the first doctor never got it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You had a thing that might burst any minute. Recovered. Just, you know, time after time he's had these things. And it's very strange.
Well, at least that sounds like the nine lives syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but unbreakable probably means exactly that you can't really be harmed.
Yeah, he
but,
has
but,
been
but,
harmed,
but if you can be harmed but recover, then it's the nine lives syndrome.
Yeah.
Anyway, good for him. Maybe it's a genetic trait. How are you doing so far?
Not so well.
Not so well.
Hey, you know, I've heard you talking about these people with these health problems due to the humming and these folks up in Canada that you said had some trouble. And
that's right.
Sounds like fibromyalgia, which is something that I suffer from. And, you know, cramping in the muscles, and it comes up out of nowhere. I'm beginning to think there's some external cause.
Well, there may well be, sir. As a matter of fact, next week, I am Tuesday, I believe. I'm going to have a guest on weather modification. Now, he's a journalist who has deeply researched weather modification. I'm sure a lot of you have been waiting for this program, and I have too. Until we do it, I'll not know whether it's the one that I've been waiting to do, but we're going to take a stab at it. I believe that weather modification experiments have already been done. We all know about seeding clouds, but I'm talking about something that goes far beyond the seeding of clouds, and that a very serious weather modification has already been done. Certainly the Russians promised a cyclone to Southeast Asia when they needed it, said they could do that by satellite, said they'd do it free of charge first time around. So if the Russians can do it, we can do it and have done it. And so we're going to have a guest on weather modification. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Dan in Idaho Falls.
Hey, Dan.
I'd like to inform the world that the Galactic Federation Fountain and Volcano team has arrived in the last 24 hours.
The Galactic Federation Fountain and what was it?
Volcano team.
And
I directed them to the Congo to put out that volcano there first.
How do you put out a volcano?
Well, you see, the energy that makes a volcano comes from the beast with the number 666.
Uh-huh.
Ball lightning.
So what do you do?
Well, you extinguish the ball lightning down on the earth.
How do you do that?
They're probably using arsenic.
Really? Poisoning the beast, then?
Yeah.
I see.
I wanted to talk about something else, too.
Really?
In Ezekiel chapter 39, it describes what we're going to go through in the next few weeks. It describes millions.
How do you know that it's the next few weeks?
Because I'm God's messenger.
You are?
And I've been told what's going to happen.
God talks directly to you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. In what way? Do you hear him out loud? Do you hear him
only occasionally
sprouting from the inner part of your brain, or how?
The Spirit of God comes over me and allows me to do what I do,
which is call down Galactic Federation folk.
Well, I'm a great scientist. I'm supposed to find the solutions. Anyhow, Ezekiel 39 describes what we're going to go through in the next few weeks.
Uh-huh.
Aluminum is the problem. Aluminum in our water. Aluminum in our bread. If we don't get off aluminum, chances are you're going to be dead.
Well, my mom used to put my sandwiches in aluminum.
Well, I'm talking about aluminum in the food.
Me too. Little pieces of it. I'm sure I digested many of them. I appreciate it there, oh Galactic Master. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Vic in Vicksburg.
Vic in Vicksburg, yes, sir.
Wanted to talk a little bit about immortality. I think the Green Mile movie was a pretty good commentary on what a blessing immortality could be. But you mentioned predestination.
Yes.
And I really do believe in it. I believe that we are free agents and we...
Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Being a free agent and being a victim, we use that word, a participant in everything that is predestined, these are clashing things.
Well, see, most of this stuff we bring on ourselves.
No, but, I mean, how can we have free will and everything is predestined?
No, I didn't say free will. I said free agency.
Well, that's kind of the same thing.
Not
free agency
yet.
Means that you can choose to do as you will, right?
Within the constraints of your environment and your education.
Well, maybe
everything
so.
Everything that comes to you.
What about within the restraints of predestination? I mean, I just don't see how you can believe in both.
Well, it happens to work that way. It just, you know,
I just
you
can't
do
wrap
freely
my...
what you want to do. Judas chose to do what he wanted to do.
All right, sir. Look, I appreciate it, but I've been around and around and around with this one a million times in my own mind, and you cannot have it both ways unless you take the position that free will is just a mockery, that free will truly is a mockery, that you think you're making decisions for yourself. You think you're acting with free agency or free will, if you will, but you're not. You're actually a marionette on strings, doing exactly what you were destined to do from the very day you were conceived. Or the very day you were born, depending on which you want to believe. But you really cannot have your cake and eat it too. You cannot say you have free agency and free will and everything is predestined. I just can't get my head around that one. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Amazing.
Amazing is right. Yes, of course.
Mr. Bell,
yes,
I'm not going to say, how are you doing?
Okay, good.
I've talked to you before.
Yes, sir.
I'm surprised I'm out here. Okay. I had a significant other, okay?
Yes?
Many years ago. And I'd written Roberta a letter because she used to do the mail. Okay, I'm shocked that I got through.
You already said that. I understand you're shocked.
And she...
What about Roberta?
She suddenly died, okay? And what gave me strength, okay, because I considered offing myself.
What gave you?
Because I couldn't picture going on without her. But you had talked about Roberta when she had her asthma attack.
That's Ramona, my wife, yes.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm bad with names. And how you drew strength that what you must go through...
You must go through. That's right. You must go through.
If you take the cheap way out...
Then you probably have bought yourself a return ticket and probably won't be a very good ride either. That's right.
So I bit the bullet and took your advice, and I am married to the most beautiful woman today.
See, life has a way of working out that way, you know. That is something that we discussed some time ago on the air, and that's actually my wife's belief, which she inculcated into me, and that is that no matter how rough it gets, and no matter what you may be facing, however awful it might be, you are really destined, not predestined, but destined, and supposed to go through what you're supposed to go through. And, I mean, that is your life. That's the cards that you've been dealt, and you are supposed to play them out. And if you don't play them out, then in all likelihood, you're going to get a return ticket and continue to play them out until you finally do. And so I think I sort of buy into that, and I think that's probably correct. And if you take the easy way out, the quick way out, then you just get a return ticket. You do it again and again and again. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I was calling about a book that I was reading about a old Hindu philosophy that basically says that as we move further away from the center of the galaxy as a planet, we sort of, our consciousness sort of sweeps. And as we move back towards the center of the galaxy, we have a mass consciousness awakening.
Yes.
And that we, in fact, are moving towards the center of the galaxy now. And I think that that speaks to immortality, to cell regeneration, to astral travel, you know, seeing things that you didn't see before. People are starting to wake up to these things now.
They appear to be, yes.
Yeah, and I think that that might have something to do with it.
Well, I know that when you're young, you always have a sort of a feeling of immortality, but lately I've been getting communications and calls from people like you've been hearing from tonight that absolutely should not be alive. I mean, they should be dead 10 times over, and no matter what seems to come their way, trains, planes, crashes, being thrown 100 feet at 110 miles an hour, it doesn't matter. If it's not their time, at the very least, they certainly don't die. And it may well be that we're beginning to get a bit of a different genetic strain that is more resistant to modern perils.
Mm-hmm. And it could even be from a lot of the work that's been done in science with, you know, cells and diseases and whatnot. Maybe we're building up a tolerance. Maybe in the long run, vaccinations have been doing that to people, and we're just not seeing the results or something. But there's also the possibility of immortality through cell regeneration, whether it's done scientifically or through, like, you know, some power of the mind that we haven't.
Well, we're not very far from discovering it. We keep working on cancer, and I'll tell you something. When we conquer cancer, we may well discover immortality because, of course, cancer is out of control cellular growth, totally out of control. Now, if you can conquer cancer, that means you control that cellular growth, and if you can control it, then you can renew cellular growth selectively, and you have immortality.
Exactly, and then it seems like if you had that, you could pick when you wanted to die.
And that raises some pretty interesting questions. Have you ever wondered yourself, if you could do that, if you could pick when you wanted to die, what do you think people would most, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yes.
I think that I would probably try and learn as much as I possibly could. And once I got to a point where I felt like I had helped as many people as I possibly could through the knowledge that I gained through doing that, I would just stop doing the cell regeneration on myself and just slowly grow old like I'm supposed to and die of whatever it is that takes me.
That, my dear, is exactly the choice that last night's microbiologist told me we'll have in the next 10 or 20 years. So how old are you now?
31.
You'll make it.
I hope so.
It'll be interesting to see the choices you make. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Take care. And if we do get to it in 10 or 20 years, I may be able to be here and talk to you about how it's going. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, I was just calling you saying that you have people that had got close experience with death or unbreakable.
Yes, sir.
Well, I had, back when I was younger, my wife is now girlfriend then, we had to bring one of our friends home about an hour away from where we were celebrating our 18th party.
Yes, sir.
Well, on the way back up, we We had to drive an hour back to drop my friend and then an hour back to where we were, at our party at. And I was very tired. My wife was sleeping. And I felt like I was going to fall asleep at the wheel. And the next thing that happened, they had a bright light come behind me. And I didn't know what it was. At first, I thought it was a motorcycle. But then it was too high. And so I slowed down to like 35 miles an hour.
We don't have a lot of time here. So what was
it? Okay. It was on the interstate, you know. Anyway, long story short, it kept me awake. But I really think that I probably would have fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh.
And I lived down in Louisiana, and it was over a long bridge of water and swamp. So.
Well, I've never had that one, but I have nodded off at the wheel when I was much, much younger. I can remember, like that, the head goes down, and you back up, and oh my God, you're still on the road. And boy, talk about an adrenaline rush. It's like 25 cups of coffee all at once. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002. Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
So far this morning, a lot of those claiming to be virtually invincible, unbreakable. Not exactly anybody saying yet they're immortal, but before the morning's gone, my guess is we'll get to that. And anything else you want to do, completely open lines, anything you want to talk about, absolutely fair game.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think. As a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
See, I think there are more secrets out there. I think Fannie, Freddie, the banks are probably in deeper trouble than we are led to believe.
You have to either say these are just incompetent people, or they're following an ideology, or maybe even more nefarious, a game plan.
That's what I think is happening. I don't think that they're stupid people. I think they have a different agenda than we do.
Now we take you back to the night of February 15th, 2002. On Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
On the first time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Art. This is Betsy from Texas.
Hey, Betsy.
Hey, I can be a testimony to the radio. My husband's got one.
The CC radio?
Yeah,
oh,
we ordered it, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like it.
Best part is I know where his hands are every 30 minutes. Right, Kenneth?
Yes, and what else have you for us this morning?
Okay. Believing in guardian angels, I probably had my first stitches before 5, but at 15 went through a windshield with 100 stitches and totaled 3 cars in high school and, you know, that whole bit.
Three. Boy, you must have been daddy's girl.
Well, you know, I walked home on one of them, so he figured if it was just a car. But the same thing, I was a middle child, happened to my middle child. He's the one that is, he's in his early 20s now, but had all the accidents.
Yeah.
And one, we live in Texas on a back country road, was following me. And I was seeing the two headlights come. Next time I looked in the rearview mirror, I see a red light and a white light, and it's flipping. So I'm watching my two sons flipping and praying.
Oh, my God.
And trying to find a place to turn around.
Right.
Getting back, they are walking away from the accident. Had flipped it 2 or 3 times, one of those, you know, top-heavy Navajos.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if this sort of thing is genetically passed on.
Absolutely. My dad was ornery. My grandmother was, too.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Yep. And other people can be in an accident one-tenth that serious, and they're dead.
Oh, I know it. I know it.
Okay. Well, that's something. I don't know what to attribute all of this to, but I know it's true because I've been receiving so many emails like this. And then there are ones that are even stranger in the sense that I've been had 100 emails from people who have said, you know, Art, I was headed directly into an intersection, blew a stoplight, and broadside, I looked up, and I was doing 80, and broadsided, I was going to broadside this car, only I didn't, I went right through it. Passed right through it like it was invisible. Now, there's some force at work. Some people will call it a guardian angel. Others will say it is some form of predestination, not your time, so it doesn't happen. Some will say it's some other sort of intervention or some unbreakability. I don't know. But there is some strange force at work out there that seems to control when we come and go, if you follow me. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is John from Goodland, Minnesota.
Hi, John.
Art, I really enjoyed that E.T., that good E.T., bad E.T. discussion you had on Wednesday night.
Oh, yes. Well, so many of my guests, you know, really are just convinced that those that are out there are good. And I'm just not one of those people. I think it's an even shot.
Yeah, I enjoyed seeing you coming out of the closet more than you normally do on nights like in terms of that topic. I was going back and forth, you know, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right, but I kind of agree with you. I think, but it's not so much what they do that bothers me, it's what they haven't done. I mean, look at it logically. You've got really intelligent beings, you know, with powers of mind beyond ours, and maybe they're interdimensional, and they can maybe see into the future or whatever.
Right.
They've got high technology.
Right.
They've been here thousands of years.
Right.
And by comparison, we're kind of like cows in the pasture, okay? And
Oh, it's interesting you should mention that. You know what we do with animals, sir? You know what we do with a lot of animals in the wild? We capture them, and we tag them, and we release them. Now, that's what we do to animals. When we are abducted by aliens or by whatever they are, I just sort of wonder if we're not, in essence, captured, tagged, and released, and then tracked. As we track animals, we tag.
And they have really interfered in our civilization, too. I mean, they've given us technology and military stuff, maybe, on one hand. On the other hand, what have they done, really, in terms of helping us cope with hunger, war, disease, for one? Secondly, they haven't really helped us overcome our religious fanaticism that's divided us for thousands of years.
Oh, we all kill in the name of our gods, huh?
And thirdly, they haven't warned us effectively about the coming earth changes. But I don't see them as really good and evil. I think we need new metaphors. I mean, the key, he kind of uses the jailers as one metaphor, and maybe the competitors is another metaphor. And I think they may be forcing us into becoming shamans in order to survive, possibly.
I said the other night, you may have heard me say, that in my estimation, there may really be a prime directive, a non-interference kind of prime directive, if there's any sort of galactic federation out there. I'm sure that exists. It makes sense. But that doesn't mean that somebody's not watching us and that somebody's not waiting for some prime real estate to become available.
But, of course, they've messed with our civilization. I mean, they've given us technology and military stuff, and on the one hand, and yet they're not really helping us in any sense. It's kind of like the military guy, you know, who ran into the aliens, and he pulled his gun, and he said, friend or foe, and the alien said, neither. You know, and then they said, do you want to go for a ride? And he said, what's in it for me? And he said, well, a new world if you can take it. You know, it's kind of a challenge almost.
Huh.
And maybe even a spiritual challenge, you know. If we were the beings that goofed up on Mars, you know, maybe we deserve to be down here trying to find our way out, and we may have to become shamans in order to find food in the future, you know, or whatever it is. But kind of like the guy who spent 9 days in the sensory deprivation chamber, you know, who developed his psychic abilities.
Yes.
I mean, for me, I work, you know, 40 hours a week. I don't have time to become spiritual or become a shaman or anything, you know. I have four little kids, and I have my hobby farm. I listen to you all night long, you know. And it may take some crisis in order for me to develop those abilities.
Sort of shock you into it.
Yeah.
Well, that may be on the way. There's certainly many people who say that very thing is on the way, and that people like you are going to suddenly become spirit, very, very spiritual, that some occurrence, some earth change, something undeniable is going to occur that's going to take everybody sort of on the 40-hour fence and tip them right over. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Yes.
Hey, how you doing? This is Chris in Evansville, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to talk a little bit about the unbreakables. I'm not unbreakable, although I've had my moments where I think I should have died.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, you were talking about the cat and the cloning of the cat and everything, and I just think sooner or later, I mean, with enough money, we're all going to be unbreakable. I mean,
I believe that as well. I mean, this great microbiologist I had on last night, Dr. Tierno, he said 10 or 20 years, we'll be there.
Oh, it'll probably be sooner than that. I mean,
it might be. It really might be. How do you feel about that? I mean, if you were, in essence, offered immortality,
would I take?
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd want to outlive my loved ones or...
Well, but you wouldn't. Well,
I guess I wouldn't, because maybe they'd have the same thing.
They'd be right there with you.
I don't know. I'm really kind of undecided. I don't think it's very ethical, but, I mean, who's to say if you were given a chance at immortality, I mean, who would really turn it down, I guess?
Maybe more people than you would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'd all be fools if we didn't think the government hasn't already cloned a human being.
I agree.
Or, you know, and it's just a matter of time.
I agree. They toss us Dolly and a little kitten and the rest of it.
Yeah. And
bean
there's a whole
burgers.
Big picture there, you know.
Bean burgers. You know darn well in the dark labs they've done all kinds of things that would probably stand the hair on the back of your head up.
Oh, yeah.
All right, sir. I appreciate
right,
the call. Thank you very much. Sure. I've sort of known. It's a knowing. I know we've cloned a human. We've done it. It's already been done in the world. It's nothing anybody's going to talk about, and you have to wonder what has become of this clone or these clones. Or what is becoming of them. But we are about to enter a really new era with science. We are on the verge now of some truly incredible things. Possibly immortality is within reach. The question is, what would we do with it? Well, as we were discussing the other night, one of the problems, of course, would be population control. You could not have immortality without immediate and very, very stringent population control, because we just don't have the resources to do otherwise. And of course, you'd have to ask, what would happen if you stopped bringing in new souls? If the ones were here, that were here essentially continued to remain here almost indefinitely, for the most part. Some would decide to go, but if we stopped bringing in new souls, I don't know. I don't know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
This is Doug from Farmington, Utah.
Yes.
Big fan of yours. I've been listening to you for about 3 years now.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to call about the invincibility and unbreakable subject that we're talking about tonight.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I don't claim to be invincible, but I might be a little bit unbreakable.
What leads you to believe that?
Well, the first thing I noticed when I was about 7 years old, I was saying goodbye to my friend. He was pulling away in his car, and he pulled me towards the car, and the car ran over my arm, and I didn't have a scratch. It ran completely over my arm.
Now, see, that's
the first one.
Well, that's impossible, though.
You'd think so. I've never had a broken bone.
That's cool. Oh, really?
In my life. I've ridden motorcycles, climbed mountains, and been crazy. I think one of the wildest things that ever happened, I was sitting out in front of my folks' house, and I heard this slap against my leg.
Uh-huh.
Felt it. It was kind of like just a bang. And I looked down by my foot, and there was a bullet.
A bullet?
A bullet. And I looked down the street, and three houses away from me, some little kid and his dad were taking a gun into the house. They'd been out shooting. And the kid shot the gun, and it was a straight line, hit me in the leg. It went through my Levi's, did not make a scratch on my skin.
Oh, my God. Now, that is also impossible. Yeah, you're beginning to convince me, sir.
That's pretty weird, unreal, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about your general health? I mean, do you get colds and flu?
Yeah, I get colds, I get flu, but I've never had anything serious. I've never been in the hospital.
Nothing serious. How old are you?
I'm 48.
48, huh?
Now, here's a good one, too. I used to work in a coal mine, and I was doing roof bolting. That was where you go in and do roof support.
Right. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
In the mine there.
Right.
And I got this feeling that I ought to move, and I just kind of ignored it. And about that time, a slab of coal, it was probably 20 feet long, 8 feet high, and 2 feet deep.
Oh.
Came crashing on me. Something literally pushed me out of the way.
My.
Or else I would have been dust.
Well, I'm beginning to hear sort of common thread in these stories.
Well, I believe in angels, in guardian angels.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Now, I think if somebody came up and tried to shoot me on purpose, they probably would you know, it'd work. They'd kill me.
Well, I'd be disinclined to test the theory.
Maybe accidents. I think I've been protected.
Incredible. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Take care. Able to stop speeding bullets with his leg. Oh, that one's weird. Whole thing was weird. There are people like that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, let me shut off my...
radio.
All right. Hello, Art.
Hello, sir. Where are you?
I am in Modesto, California.
Okay.
I wanted to share an experience with you. It's kind of a soul-racking experience.
Soul-racking?
Yes.
Okay.
But beforehand, I wanted to ask you a question. My radio, it plays 1360, but on your radio station, or they listen to you, but all I'm getting is like a 1200 station, and then it'll fade out, and then I'll have to switch between stations when you go on a break.
Well, 1200, sir, would be San Antonio, Texas.
I know, but right now that's what I was just listening to.
Holy mackerel. We must have unusual conditions tonight. If you're in Modesto and getting 1200, that's awesome.
Well, I need to get my hands on one of those CC radios.
They are yes, you do. They are a 50,000-watt clear channel station on 1200 in San Antonio, Texas. So that's amazing.
So anyway, what I wanted to share with you was have you ever heard of a waking dream?
Oh, yes.
Well, I understand what those are, but this wasn't a waking dream, because I guess a waking dream would be like you're kind of half awake.
A lucid, I think they call them lucid dreams, yes.
Oh. Well, what happened with me was I was sleeping. We have a guest bedroom, and just where all our guests sleep, and I was sleeping in there, and I had the door closed, and then I woke up, and like, well, first I had a dream. It was a dream where I was being chased by something, and then all of a sudden I see this, like, this, all of a sudden everything goes black, and there's like this face appears, and I start hearing this really deep tone.
Really?
And then I wake up, and I can't move, and I can't talk, and I can't, I'm just like, I'm awake, fully awake. And I see this, like, black mist thing over me, like a very dark cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, so I'm, like, can't move, and I'm, like, I can, like, mumble, like, barely.
Yes.
And then I break free somehow. I'm not sure.
Probably just mumbling something like, Mama, Mama.
Yeah. And I scream, and I just go like, Mom, and then...
Yeah, I knew it, yeah.
Yeah, my mom comes rushing in, what, and all of a sudden, it's just, she turns on the light, and this thing goes away. Well, it happens again a second time about 3 months later.
Oh, yes?
But it's a different dream. This time it's like a dream. I'm like watching TV, and there's like this weird sound thing going on or something. But anyway, so I wake up and it's the same thing, and this has happened to like my friend's dad before. This happened to a couple other people I know, and it's very strange because like you're wide awake but you can't move at all, and so.
Yeah, it's called being paralyzed, and it's a state you reach prior to leaving your body. In other words, you could have an OBE if you continued with that and. Let yourself roll into it and let the experience continue. And most people don't. I'm one of them. It's just too scary to let go of that much control. That's when you have an OBE. Again, I call your attention. I'm really puzzling on this story tonight. Story is U.S. planes rain dollars on Afghanistan. Not just dollars, but $100 bills, along with a picture of George Bush. Now, I was thinking... Wouldn't there be a number of locations here in the United States that could use $100 bills falling in envelopes with pictures of our president or any other president? We have many of them on bills falling down upon people. A lot of areas of the country where that would go over really well. But instead, we're doing it at taxpayer expense in Afghanistan. I don't know about that.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002. Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired February 15th, 2002.
$100 bills raining down on Afghanistan with pictures of our president. This is new U.S. policy. I'm telling you. Sometimes we really are out of our minds. We'll be right back.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. Now we take you back to the night of February 15th, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
I'm really going to have to think more about this. In recent weeks, U.S. aircraft have dropped leaflets over the same area depicting Mullah Omar as a dog held on a leash by Bin Laden. And a crude cartoon we dropped also showed Taliban leaders as pawns in the hands of Bin Laden, playing on a checkered chessboard map of Afghanistan. So we dropped that kind of stuff. I wonder, who are the guys, anyway, who sit and decide exactly what we're going to drop on the, in quotes, enemy? And just who exactly decided to drop the $100 bills? I mean, literally, probably hundreds or thousands of $100 bills in envelopes with pictures of our president. That's taxpayer money we're dropping southern Afghanistan there. I watch the news. I've watched it for years. And I guess I'm to the point now where nothing, absolutely, well, almost nothing will amaze me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, my headphones are on.
Turn your headphones off, sir.
Okay.
I'll wait until you can turn them off.
Okay, they're off.
Okay.
That PSYOPs that decided to drop that stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you like to be in the room, and here's the guy who says, come on, let's put some $100 bills in envelopes with pictures of the president, drop them.
Yeah, I don't know where they get their ideas. I'm not unbreakable, but I'm kind of like silly putty. I keep bouncing back.
Silly putty.
Yeah, I keep bouncing back. I got some pretty wild stories, though. I don't know how I'm still here.
Silly putty man. All right. What?
I was on a head-on collision. It was pretty hard hit. It broke both cars, the front of them. I ran out to the front of them after I bounced off the windshield and passed out for a while. I was trying to see if she was okay. She was fine, but I had, in the windshield, part of my hair and my head looked like a hamburger stuck there.
Like a hamburger?
Oh, yeah. Kind of bent the windshield out and pulled it back.
That definitely calls a vision up.
Twice I drove off a mountain.
You drove off... Two mountains?
I was with someone else, and he drove off one time in a blizzard. That time, I was seatbelted in. Darn seatbelt broke. It held me to the seat, and the weight pushed me through the windshield on that one.
Silly
and
buddy.
Then it pulled me back in.
Pulled you back in?
Yeah, my cap got stuck in there instead of slicing me up. But, I mean, it tore me up pretty good, but it didn't cut me in my head off like I figured.
Well, I guess you qualify.
Well, yeah, I got about a half a dozen more. Isn't a Black Hawk crash?
A Black Hawk helicopter?
Yes, sir. That's when they're having problems with the rotors and they had to keep grounding them. Well, ours got grounded pretty fast. A semi ran over us and on the Autobahn in a convoy once. It made the VW Bug look like a accordion.
And you were in it?
Mm-hmm.
I
just took my break from tank driving for 18 hours and just jumped in there and some semi came after us, aimed right at us, and after we bounced around a quarter mile down the road, he's out there, I killed Americans. And if I could have got up, I would have, never mind.
Clocked him, at least, yeah.
Oh, at least.
All right, I appreciate the call. I have no idea how to explain any of that. That guy should have been, like, silly putty man. He should have been dead any number of times. There are people like this. And yet, there are the others. The others who will have an accident one-tenth as serious as anything he just described, and they're, you know, they're moving on. So there is another force, or forces, that are at work in this world that interweave and intertwine with our lives and seem to affect them, or assist us, or prevent things from happening. You've heard people describe just being moved out of the way like a blur, as fast as a blur, not walking, not running, but just blurring out of the way of something that otherwise obviously would have killed them on the spot. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Mark in Seattle.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, you know the asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs that the scientists always talk about?
Yes.
Ever mentioned that possibly it was directed purposely to hit Earth from some other source?
Well, of course, we don't know. We weren't allegedly around at the time.
They never speculated about that or anything?
The KT event is what you're... No, not that I know of. Why would you believe it might have been directed?
Because the things you're talking about on Mars, it seemed like somebody was on Mars while dinosaurs were here.
Oh.
And whatever happened, they had to get off fast, so they made an asteroid hit Earth to wipe out the dinosaurs.
Very interesting point. That's a very interesting point. In other words, they needed the planet.
Right.
Something was obviously about to occur to theirs, but they looked at Earth carefully, and we had all these damn big dinosaurs.
Right.
You wouldn't want to live with them, so you direct an... very interesting.
And on the clone thing?
Yes, sir.
Do you think it's been human emotions that's going to take us down? Do you think in the future they should eliminate the emotional part of the brain as far as the clones go?
Well, I think it's going to be possible.
Yeah.
Whether it's ethical and moral, that's right. That's
right.
A very different question.
Okay.
You take care, sir. Do I think we'll do it? Yes. Look, people are already, look at Cece, people are already cloning pets. Now, just how long do you think it's going to, and how big a jump is it from cloning pets to cloning yourself? If you've got enough money and enough ego, and there's plenty of those people, there's going to be plenty of cloning orders, and, you know, the scientists are on the way to Europe right now to fulfill those orders. Did you know that? So we're on the precipice of a whole new age, and with genetic manipulation, sure, you could produce a human with essentially no emotions. You could produce a human normal in every respect, except with an IQ of about 35. Virtually be a slave. You can play God. We're very close to being able to play God. I just don't know whether we ought to play. Not so sure about that. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Karen from Iowa.
Hello, Karen.
Yes, I've been having feelings. Is there something going to be happening in the next couple of weeks? How are you feeling about that?
I interviewed Jim Berkland last night. And he gave us the Coles prediction as well, and I have this earthquake kind of feeling, yeah.
Okay. I was in meditation, and I was warned that when the nuclear bomb hits that there'll be so many dead on the Pacific coast at the same time, and I believe it's just going to jar it right off, or whatever it's going to be doing. But if there was something catastrophic to happen, I believe that our children, our innocent, will know 2 days beforehand, because I believe that they get special communication from their guardians when they're going to either transcend or lose a parent or something.
Well, that's kind of like animals. Animals seem to know sometimes days ahead of time if something really catastrophic is on the way. They seem to know.
Yeah. Now, I have a special question for you. Are we going to be able to receive your transmissions if there were something catastrophic?
catastrophic that would occur? Well, that would depend on whether I was at the epicenter or rather on the outskirts, I suppose.
I mean, if a future home I designed at one time was in the desert, and I do believe that it's a good place to be.
Well, we'll find out. It was once underwater. Don't rule out the possibility again.
Do you like future? I have a lot of future dreams, and I ask in the dream what year it is and stuff like that. And I've had some very interesting ones lately.
Really?
Yeah. The other night I asked a man, you know, what year is this? It's like more communal living.
Yes.
And he said it was 2033, but a lady behind him said, it is not. But anyway, it should be close to 2033. Anyway, he looked up in the sky as my dream was ending, and he said, here they come. And it was something out of the sky. Okay, but then as I was leaving, I saw Florida kind of rounded off, and then like another square added to the panhandle. I mean, the panhandle wasn't, or not the panhandle, the long part of Florida wasn't there, and then it like reappeared, you know, like it comes back. Also, that's 2033. And then I had another dream. I didn't even know it was our planet. But get this, there was four moons.
Four moons?
Yeah, three of them like in a cluster right above. One of them was so bright I couldn't hardly look at it.
You know, I'm not so sure that I, thank you, I'm not so sure I could deal with four. Can you imagine four full moons a month? That really might be the end of civilization. More ways than one. One full moon a month appears to be fully enough. As a matter of fact, the Coles prediction, certainly the Bricklin prediction, centers around the closest the moon will be to the Earth in a very long time, and I think he said within a couple hundred miles of the closest it can ever be in all time to Earth. And so with reference to her first question, yeah, I can begin to feel a little beginning building pressure right now about something or another. That's all. Nothing specific. But if I were you, I would have listened very carefully to last night's first hour. Sort of mentally mark it down. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Morning, Art. How are you?
I'm okay, sir.
I wanted to address the immortality subject.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to speak for everybody, of course, but if you have a strange kind of experience just once in your life, you tend to push it in the back of your mind because you feel it's abnormal and you don't know who to discuss it with.
Yeah, so you
if
just...
If it happens to you all the time...
Then...
Yeah, you know, different types of experiences, then you start asking why.
Mm-hmm.
And before you ask... And then after you ask why me.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an example, if you almost die or die and pass over, you realize that everything you learn in this plane has nothing to do with the other side. All you have to do over there is think, and it is. Think yourself to one spot, and you're there. What you learn here doesn't matter, so why would anyone go through all of this, you know, and learn this?
Well, I agree.
Not, say, for instance, angels or any subject you want to talk about. This all started when I was 6 years old. And I just kept shelving it and pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back. When I was introduced to your show, I thought, well, if I call enough, someone will say, hey, this guy needs to talk to so-and-so, or he has to go and see these people, and then he'll understand. Because I'm 57 years old. What's the point? You know what I mean? When would I ever use this kind of information? But I'm going to tell you a quick story that just gives you an idea. I've spoken to you before, and Barbara also. I was prompted to move to Florida. That mean I mean by that during meditations, inner voices, inner movings.
Did you hear what the last lady just said about Florida?
No.
Oh, it's just as well. Anyway, go ahead.
But the point is, before my company even offered its first early retirement, I was planning to leave, and then suddenly this came up, the retirement, the whole deal, and I could go, and I came here. And nothing happened, and I thought something exciting would happen. So I'll give you an example. Last spring, in meditation, I was saying, I'm tired of this. You know, I really want something to happen to let me know that I'm still in this for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about it. That was like on a Thursday. Saturday, I was doing some painting in my house, so I decided I'd run down early to the dollar store and buy some brushes. And when I got there, I realized they opened at 10 o'clock, and there was only one car in the parking area at that end of the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew they opened. One store was empty on one side. The other side was like a post office. It was an old car, cream and green colored DeSoto, like from the 50s, but in nice shape. And I didn't think it belonged to the owner, but I went in the store, and I was a little hesitant because I didn't see him standing in the window at the register.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in, the bell rang, no one was there. I walked through the aisle towards the back room where he might be, and I called out, and he answered me. No sooner did he answer me, there was a flutter, and this little woman came from around the shelving. And I'd say the shelving was about, I'm 6'3", it was a little bit lower than my shoulders. She just breezed past me. When I looked away from her and looked back to where I expected him to come out of the door, there was a tall woman standing there looking across at me. Very pretty woman, alabaster skin, 70, white hair, very, very pretty. He came out of the door, went all the way around the outside perimeter of the store and headed towards his register. I took the brushes I wanted, and I walked back. When I got back to where the register was, the bell rang again. A couple walked in, a young couple, with a gorgeous little girl looked like Shirley Temple. And she had her hands up over her face, and she was giggling. Absolutely beautiful child, mesmerizing to look at. Her big blue eyes I could see over the top of her fingertips. Her mother and father, or who I thought was her mother and father, was speaking a language I never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Another couple came in, distracted me. The elderly woman, the little woman was in front of me at the register.
Where are we going here?
Oh, very interesting.
Okay.
The woman behind me, the attractive woman, and she suddenly had a husband or a male companion standing behind her. This woman tapped me in the back just as I stepped up to the register. And I turned around, and she didn't give me an apologetic look or anything or say anything to me. She just looked down at what she had in her hands. I didn't bother to look down. I just went, turned around again and, you know, was starting to make my purchase. She hit me again, a little bit harder.
Yes.
I turned around and looked down, and still she had a few items in her hand, nothing special, blah, blah, blah. I paid. The couple with the little girl, was giggling there the whole time. They went outside. I took my purchase, I went outside, and they were gone. There was nowhere they could have gone. Empty parking lot, just that one car and my car that I bought. Okay, I turn around, and out comes the elderly couple. He never changed the facial expression. He just looked the same all the time. She smiled very slightly and nodded toward me, and they moved away. They went toward their car. I went back inside, and I was starting to feel fizzy. Like in my head, you know, I'm saying, what is going on here? So I went over to the proprietor and I said, what did that woman buy? And he told me, you know, this, that, and placemats. I said, what? And then I realized what she had hit me in the back with was rolled up placemats, like a tube. That's what it looked like to me. I thought it was a gray tube. It was.
Yes, well, I'm not getting the point of all
okay.
this.
Okay, so I asked him, well, where are they? And he sent me over to them. When I got there, I almost hit the floor. The little cherub on the placemat was the exact duplicate of the little girl who was giggling on the floor.
Yes.
Now, I called up a mentor of mine, Helen Arminas, in New York, and I told her what happened. I was really shook. You know, I couldn't believe it. He couldn't drive the car either. We went all over the place, and it was empty, and he couldn't get out of there. But I asked her, and she said, well, the little girl was giggling because that angel had the part of playing the child. And she said, you were asking, and they appeared to you. She said, but you just didn't see it at the time. Huh. And she said, what they were talking, what the language they were speaking that you didn't understand was English backwards. But when I tell you, Art, this child, this gorgeous child, was the exact image
on
the cherubs on the placemat.
I've got you. All right, sir. I appreciate the call. That's pretty weird stuff. Twilight Zone all the way. I don't know. It's a strange world. Sometimes there's sort of little slips that happen. That sounds like a little slip.
In your car.
Old 50s car.
Turn on the radio.
And there's that little girl.
You're pulling me close. Just say no.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
When we kiss, ooh, I
XM-166. Don't bother asking for explanation. She'll just tell you that she came in the air of the kind. She doesn't give you time for questions as she locks up your eyes. Follow till your sense of which direction completely disappears. By the blue tiled walls near the market stalls of the hidden door she leads you to. These days she says, I feel my life just like a river running through the air of the cat.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
What do you think immortality would really be like? Living forever, would it be a good thing? Or even if you could live for as long as you wanted, would that be a good thing? I'm not sure. I have this feeling, though, that in the next 10 or maybe 20 years, we're all going to find out, we're going to have that choice. And when that choice comes to you, I wonder what you'll say. I don't want it. Take it away. Or, go ahead, swab right here. I'm ready for the shot. It's hard to say. It's kind of interesting to toy with the concept, though, since we apparently are getting so close to it. Stay right where you are, and we'll get back to it.
Coast to Coast AM is happy to announce that our website is now optimized for mobile device users, specifically for the iPhone and Android platforms. Now, you'll be able to connect to most of the offerings of the Coast website on your phone in a quick and streamlined fashion. And if you're a Coast insider, you'll have our great subscriber features right on your phone, including the ability to listen to live programs and stream previous shows. No special app is necessary to enjoy our new mobile site. Simply visit coasttocoastam.com on your iPhone or Android browser. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I argue with people about disclosure time and time again. I've told them governments are not going to come out willingly to tell us it's going to happen by a mistake, it's going to happen by a whistleblower, but it's not going to be an organized thing. Governments won't do that, and the reason why they won't do it is because they do not want us to know. They think that they'll lose control of us if we know. If you actually truly believe that we were being visited by extraterrestrials and you had categorical proof that it was happening, do you think you would listen to some of the bull that government throws out all the time? Absolutely not. You'd look toward the heavens, you'd say there's got to be a better way, and you would start doing your own thing. And you would forget all about government control and everything else. So the bottom line is, government will never, ever disclose the true facts of UFOs.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
Speaking of the night sky, back into it we go, east of the Rockies. You are on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm John. I'm from Cleveland.
Yes, John.
And speaking of the immortality, you know, there was, I think it's a gift from God. I've been in a plane wreck. I've been in over 10 very bad car accidents. Not say, and I've been physically hurt very, very badly. I've had the outer body experience where it's God or whomever, higher power, says it's just not time yet. We don't want you yet.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of us.
Did the higher power ever say, look, I mean, after 10 or 11 times, sir, it's bound to be like, hey, it's not your time, damn it. Get back down there.
Exactly. Exactly. And quit testing this.
Yeah. Quit testing it, right.
Quit testing this. I was afraid of it for a long time. I've done, like you said, like you had mentioned earlier, I've traveled all across the country. A lot of people I have dealt with have died that I've been close to through doing testing this immortality, riding motorcycles 150 miles an hour.
Yes.
I did not believe that people died in car accidents. I thought that that was a myth,
Well, they do.
They do, yes. They do.
It's just that not everybody does. There are people like you.
Right. And when you have the gift, now that I'm older, and I have some very bad physical, I'm all screwed together and plated together, and I got a lot of steel in me. And
yes.
You learn to not
take chances,
not to test it as much and cherish it.
Yes.
And not put it to the test. I became a bridge painter for the thrill of it.
For the fun of it. Really.
For the thrill seeking, and I've seen a couple guys fall, and
I think I get the picture.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you, with age, have begun to acquire some little bit of wisdom and have stopped taking such chances. Why, I did do that. My thing, of course, was flying, and I always wanted to fly, and so I went hang gliding and promptly proved to myself that there's nothing immortal or even semi-immortal about me. I promptly had a compound fracture about 2 inches above the elbow. Trust me, that's a bad place to get a compound fracture, a couple inches above the elbow, very bad. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I was calling about immortality, too.
Okay.
One that's done through cell regeneration. If that was the possibility, one of the possibilities.
Well, of course it is. If we're on the verge as a civilization of immortality genetically, and so it would make sense that if there are people who have something close to it now, it would be passed on genetically.
Right. But to address the overpopulation problem.
Ah, yes.
That might arise from that. It seems like if you could control on a cellular level with your mind or even through science, you could figure out a way to, if I could regenerate myself to continue to make myself young, it seems like as a woman, I might also be able to do something cellular within my body to prevent myself from getting pregnant. Like it would be just as easy to turn that on.
Well, I think that that was mentioned by last night's microbiologist, that it would probably be, a requirement of becoming immortal.
Uh-huh.
That they would, flip the genetic switch that would not allow you to reproduce.
Yeah. It also seems as though if scientists could live longer, many of them that are on the verge of doing certain technological advances would live long enough to do that. And we could maybe start to colonize space. We could colonize other planets, or we could maybe build space stations and,
oh, yes,
and control the population on this planet that way.
That would be an option, sure.
I have a quick question for you, and I just want to listen to it off the air, but the question is, have you ever seen that movie, First Contact, that Star Trek movie?
Oh, yes.
You know how they say that once First Contact happens, it unites humanity in a way no one ever thought possible and all that?
Right.
And all of a sudden there's peace and everything is beautiful and everybody loves each other?
Yes, I wouldn't bet on it.
I was just going to ask you what your thoughts on that were.
Okay, my thoughts are that I wouldn't bet on it. Number one, I really, really, really am not at all convinced that when they do arrive, and they will eventually arrive, that they're going to be friendly. And I just don't know why we continue to make that assumption. And we really do. 9 out of 10 guests that I will have on the subject will think that, have already concluded that they are benign at worst, and friendly and ready to help us out at best. And I don't buy into that. I really don't. I drift more toward Dr. Jacobs. And if you look at what they're doing right now, as I said, somebody wrote me something earlier about what we do with animals, and what do we do with them? We take animals from the wild frequently, and we tag them. We identify them, we check them for health, we tag them, and then we release them. And in some cases, we have little devices on those tags to track them. And when you sit down and really think about it, how different is that from the described abduction experiences that we hear about? How really different is that? Huh? Grabbed, examined, tagged, released, and tracked. How different? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Greg calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, Greg.
Listen on WHAS.
The monster WHAS, yes.
Yeah, monster. Back in October, I believe it was, I hit a tree going 72 miles an hour in my Chevy S10.
Gee, you ought to be dead.
Yeah, and I didn't have my seatbelt on.
You didn't?
Didn't, and all it did was, like, bloodied my mouth.
That's all?
That was it. Once it happened, I reached down and started feeling around to make sure everything was all right.
In place, yes.
In place, checking for ears, because I was... Back in 1986, I got hit head-on on a pickup truck, a Ford F-150. I was driving a Buick Riviera.
Right.
And these guys were drunk, and they were passing, going up a hill. And as soon as we got to the peak of the hill, there they were. So, and I said, this is it. And I just laid down in the seat, and then there was just a lot of metal sound and just like slow motion.
And you came out of it?
With 3 stitches, and I had some glass in my eyes. The mirror hit my nose once the windshield broke. The mirror went flying.
Now, so you should be long gone, but here you are.
Yeah, and when I wrecked the truck 2 days before that, my dog was sitting in my lap, and he knocked the mirror off.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and what's really weird about it is the wreck happened at 4:20 in the morning.
Yes.
And that's the exact time you put me on the air. That's weird.
You're back east, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 4:20 is what it would have been. You're exactly right, sir.
Yeah, and that the wreck with the Riviera, a point of impact, I went 222 feet, and the truck went 213 feet.
Yikes.
And his whole wheel and brake assembly was in the back seat.
Oh, my God. Well, you should be long gone, sir. Long, long gone. So what do you all think it is, huh? Chance? Just a chance? Just the luck of the Irish? I don't think so. A lot of these described accidents and tragedies, there's no way anybody should be walking away from them, but they do. And it appears to have something to do with it's, you know, just not your time or something. You haven't been called. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I just had a comment about immortality. This is Mike.
Yes, sir. You're a little difficult to hear. You must be on a cell phone.
Yeah, I am. Is that any better now? Or
Not much, but go ahead.
I remember a long time ago hearing some statistic they were talking about if we were to live like double, triple our life expectancy now, that, you know, say we don't become invincible, that eventually, like, that increases our risk of, say, like, you know, something stupid happening to us, like a tree falls on us and kills us, and eventually I guess we'll get wiped out that way, you know.
Well, I suppose, yeah, if you were essentially unbreakable, if you were immortal, save, like, as he just explained, a tree falling on you or something catastrophic like that, then everybody would be getting extra careful. I mean, if you really cherished your immortality, And you could be immortal, save something really awful like that, or a plane crashing into the ground. Then the population would tend to get really extra careful, wouldn't they? Probably to the point of being totally ridiculous about it all. Do you think there would still be people out there who would always push the limit? You know, the people who would do the 150 miles an hour on the motorcycle just for the thrill of it, that kind of thing? Probably would go away. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is John from St. Louis on the Big 550 AM.
KTRS.
KTRS.
Yes, sir.
You had that Mark Hazelwood. That was a very interesting show, and I was wondering if you have any more information. He was saying about this group. They plan to go to Canada, but they didn't say where at in Canada, where would be a safe place in Canada because it's such a large country.
Well, go north, young man, go north. I guess that's a message. How far, I don't know. And I don't know. You know, there has been no mainstream scientific evidence to back up what he's saying. But at some point, if what he's saying is true, there certainly will be. It will not be able to be ignored any longer, and he sort of dated that for us, so we'll see.
Okay, and then the other thing is, like, Harry Braun, he was saying about hydrogen power.
Yes.
And the last person calling in that night asked about the amount of gas and be from this, and I think you misread them a little bit. I think that if there's water vapor coming out from all these tailpipes and cars, that it would cause a lot of havoc with the atmosphere. And,
well, he was saying not. I mean, that water vapor is a very certainly by comparison harmless thing. Water vapor, my goodness. There's plenty of water vapor around. Water vapor, I would not think, would tamper in an adverse way with the ecology or the climate. And if you can compare water vapor as a product of the combustion that's moving your butt around or doing whatever to what's presently coming out and going into the atmosphere, I think there's really no contest, is there? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Anything goes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can I ask you anything about spirits?
I don't know if I can answer. You can ask.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, I grew up in a haunted house for like about 9 years, right?
Yes.
And there's something that's always kind of, I've always wondered. Have you ever heard of a spirit, like, impersonating another person of the family?
No.
You haven't? It's happened quite a few times.
You mean a spirit impersonated somebody in your family?
Yes. Uh-huh. It's impersonated my sister.
Oh.
And impersonated my father a few times and my mother.
Boy, that would have been kind of confusing.
You know, I've seen it like in movies and read about to where maybe it could have been like demonic even, you know. Like, but I don't know. I mean, there was one time I was staying up late watching TV and I heard my dad get up and I would have gotten in trouble, you know, from watching TV.
Right.
And he looked into the living room and I was like, and he yelled at.
Right.
And went and I, you know, he got it, turned on the kitchen light, got a drink of water, and he looked into the living room. He saw me, and I saw him. We made eye contact, and then he went into the bathroom because I could see that from the living room.
Yes.
And I waited and waited and waited, and he never came out. So I got up, went and looked. The bathroom was still closed, and there was a little bit of a space underneath the door.
Right.
And the bathroom was big enough to where if he was sitting on the toilet or anything, I could see his feet.
You'd have seen, yeah.
Yeah, and there was nothing there, so I opened up the door, and there's nobody in there at all. You know, and I was like, that kind of freaked me out. And then the other time, my bus stop when I was a little kid was across the street, and I was sitting over there, and I looked back, and my mom's sitting, standing on the porch with her arms folded, watching me. And I wave at her and everything. She didn't wave, you know, kind of acknowledged that I wasn't there, but she was staring at me. And I saw her for probably about 10 minutes. And the bus came, picked me up, took me to school. I came home and asked my mom, I go, well, why were you watching me? You know, why were you staring at me? And she's like, I wasn't watching you. It was never her. Kind of trippy, huh?
Yeah.
You never heard of that before, though, huh?
No, other than I do recall looking at my sisters several times when I was younger and noticed absolute demonic looks in their eyes. was usually followed by my getting clobbered by one of them. Yeah, but at times they looked a little demonic. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi, Art.
Hi, sir.
Yes, first of all, I enjoy your program. This is Jeff from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Some of my favorite programs of yours in the past were some of the more offbeat programs where you interviewed musical guests.
Oh, okay.
And you used to play the song Highwayman quite a bit.
I played it two nights ago, sir.
Yes, and as you're probably aware, Art, that song was written by Jimmy Webb.
Uh-huh.
Who also wrote a lot of the big hits for Glenn Campbell back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yes, sir.
And I have that song by Glenn Campbell. And I've heard Jimmy Webb interviewed a few times. He's a very interesting guy.
Well, all right. I see where you're going. If you can point him in my direction, then send me some email. That's the best way to get to me right now, artbell@mindspring.com. That's artbell@mindspring.com. And don't forget, one of those interviews is coming up. It should be very interesting on the 21st, Eric Burden of Eric Burden and the Animals.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 15th, 2002.
Pure D Open Line, though we do seem to have gravitated toward the subject of immortality or unbreakability. That is not a word, is it? Unbreakability. But it conveys a message anyway. Stay right there. There is more just around the corner.
Now, we take you back to the night of February 15th, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Back into the unbreakable night we go. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
I've had a couple of occasions. On one occasion, I was run over by a triple axle dump truck that was loaded and wound up just getting bruised.
Now that seems totally impossible. What part of your body was run over?
My legs and my hips.
Oh my God. Now this was a triple axle loaded dump truck.
Right, about 65,000 pounds.
You should have been a pancake, sir.
I felt like it there for a minute. The other occasion was going through a major intersection, and I had the green light, and apparently the throttle stuck on another vehicle, a 74 Delta 88 Oldsmobile. I was in a 78 Toyota Celica, and they hit me on the passenger side and drove me 216 feet down the road into a telephone pole on my side.
Oh, my God.
I got up and walked away from it.
You got up and walked away?
Yeah.
Well, haven't you ever... I mean, you must wonder about this occasionally, don't you?
I figure there's probably a pretty good reason I'm still around.
There must be. It sounds like you're in a truck now.
Yes, I am. I pulled off to call you. By the way, I'm listening to WOAI San Antonio, and I'm in Bailington, Tennessee, which is about halfway from... Well, I guess about 30 miles south of the Virginia line on State 81.
They've got to have one of the biggest signals in the country, no doubt about it.
Coming in like it's right in town.
Yeah, you can. As a matter of fact, you can hear them down into Central and South America. It's amazing. All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
Take care. A triple axle loaded truck runs right over you, and you sort of get up and dust yourself off. That's amazing. Well, Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Let's see. Well, I have a few. When I was little, like when I was like 3 months old, and then when I was about a year, I was really sick, and they told my parents, you know, say goodbye. This is the last time you'll see her, because they thought I was going to die. And then
What was killing you?
I had real bad asthma, and I was born like a month and a half early.
Oh.
So I was just real small. And then one time I was driving, I live in Austin.
Right.
I was driving along 35, and I guess the car hit a patch of grease or something, and the car turned totally around, so I was facing the wrong way in traffic.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, well, you know, this is it, you know, goodbye, you know. And God, I do believe it's God, turned the car around and just kind of put it down and headed in the right direction. And I was in a head-on collision on Highway 40 in St. Louis. I was in a Hyundai, just a little car. I got out. I was fine. And the thing is, I'm only 4'9", so I'm not that big.
4'9"?
And, like, less than 100 pounds, so I'm not even that big.
Yeah, little girl.
And then I was in Austin, and somebody ran a red light, hit me. I didn't have my seatbelt on. I hit the top of the car, walked away. It was fine. The car was a mess. And then just the 25th of January, another person ran on a red light, hit me. The airbags and everything went off. I didn't have my seatbelt on. I didn't get, like, facial burns from the airbag.
Right.
It busted out my driver's side window. I didn't have anything. All I have is, like, a sprain. I have a sprain back and a whiplash, and I walked away from that. And I just remember the 25th when I had that crash, I remember saying, not again. I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind, just not again.
That's something. I don't know what to say to you. You're just one of the ones.
You know, and they're just like, I mean, the doctors were like, I can't believe you're ready. And then that night I got up and went to church. You know. So.
Well, that sounds logical.
Oh, but one thing I do have to say is the lady that was on like 2 weeks ago, she had died. She had a brain aneurysm.
Yes.
And they took all the blood out of her and everything.
Yes, ma'am.
And she died. Well, it was really comforting to me because I had a friend die December 1st. And all the stuff that people have been saying at church, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, it's fine. I read in the Bible. But when she actually said it, it gave me lots and lots of comfort.
Believe me, I understand. I feel the same way. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling you from Niagara Falls, listening to WNED in Buffalo.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Love your show. Listen, I've been a listener to your show since about November.
Yes, sir.
And today I just got in tune with what you were doing today. I forgot about you, Freddie Collins. I just had a couple of points. I'll listen to it after on the air.
Sure.
My background, Art, is a Roman Catholic. I went to Roman Catholic schools out of choice. And some of the controversies that I had back then are some of the controversies that you talk about on your radio show. And oddly enough, I got into broadcasting myself and journalism and I had my own little college radio show just like you're having now, and this is back in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got thrown off the air quite a few times from the program directors.
Oh, I've been there.
One of the things that I had written reports on just out of curiosity was a lot of things you're talking about on the air now. But the one report that I had written was to warn mankind, if you will, to stop changing the flow of the waters and stop digging holes in the earth because we're changing the gravity balance of the earth altogether.
There are many people who believe that. Actually, there are people who believe, for example, and it may be true, that the dams that we put up, for example, actually slow the rotation of the earth.
Yep.
It's weird to think about, but I'm told that science believes it to be true.
That I would believe. It's like taking what's that weight you have on your wheel, because it creates a good balance when you're turning on, you know, on the highway.
Right.
This is the same concept. If you change the balance around, your wheel won't turn even anymore.
It may be true.
Yeah.
I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you very much. It may be true. Many people believe that the changes that we make, particularly those major changes that alter large bodies of water and that sort of thing, actually could change, slow, perhaps, the rotation of the earth. That would not be good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, are you talking to me?
I am.
I just wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
My mom's from the South and has told me this story as I've been growing up, and for years I didn't believe it, but since then I've started to wonder if it is true. She said that my aunt and uncle were sleeping one night. My other uncle was in the same bed with them. They're poor. And somebody started pulling the covers down off the bed.
Mm.
And my aunt and uncle thought it was my other uncle fooling around and said, knock it off. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. They sat up. All three of them saw a naked man crawling across the floor.
Oh.
And as he got a few feet away from the bed, he disappeared.
Oh.
And I thought that was pretty weird for all these years. And then my husband was reading a book about demons. And they actually had a name for some kind of demon that goes in people's room, they're naked, and they pull the covers off the bed. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, and I'm not looking forward to hearing it. No, that sounds awful. Naked man crawling across your bed.
I know. What's the point of that? But it's one of those things that has bothered me all these years, and then to have my husband read this book.
Besides, he pulls the covers off, and what's the one thing when you see something as awful as that, you want the covers, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I have to tell you, I work the evening shift at a hospital, and I listen to your show on my way home, and there's been several times I've actually had to turn it off because it started scaring the heck out of me.
Well, I don't have that luxury, and it frequently scares the hell out of me. I appreciate your call.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else had the naked crawling guy pulling the covers down syndrome in their bedroom at night? Bad. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, is this the Art Bell Show?
That would be the place, yes.
Okay.
Turn your radio off, please.
Excuse me?
Turn your radio off, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Proceed.
I had a sighting the other night.
Of what?
Well, I'm not sure. That's the thing. I live in Tiwa, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir?
And the garbage I have to put out at 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
It's dark. So I'm carrying the garbage in, and right as I walk out of the garage, I get this weird feeling. You know, the hair on my neck stands up.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
And the house that's next to me is vacant. And for some reason, the realtor has like got all the lights on and everything. And as I'm carrying the garbage cans out, I see this image. This is a big boy pass between me. And it's probably about 50 yards away. And he's like screaming. Rrr! And was not human.
Was What do you think it was?
I don't know. I'm the kind of person that would like to believe that there is a Sasquatch or whatever.
So you think you might have encountered a Bigfoot or something like that?
I don't know.
Well, it was something. I don't know what I can tell you, but welcome to the club of those who have encountered something they cannot explain. A wild card line, you're on the air. Whoops, would have been. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there.
Hi there, this is Jim listening to WLS.
Yes, sir.
Chicago. You have kept me awake for the last 6 years.
6 years? You've been awake for 6 years?
6 years and I've had no sleep.
Well, you must be in truly pathetic condition.
No, I'm not, actually. I've had five air crashes. I've been shot once in the head.
Five air crashes? Shot in the head?
Right. What happened is, VC pulled the trigger and the receiver blew off in his face. And I've had one head-on collision. And what I really like to bring up, though, is something that a caller brought up about a half an hour ago.
What was that?
English backwards.
Oh.
I've had many experiences, out-of-body experiences. And I first learned that by writing what these people said down backwards, I could pronounce it in English.
I wonder, you know, we talk frequently about different dimensions and that sort of thing.
Yes.
I wonder if there might be a dimension where English is the language, only in reverse.
Yes, and it's really odd. I just learned that because ever since I was about 5 years old, I've had these experiences where I will wake up totally paralyzed and there's a weight on my chest and I go someplace else and I don't know where it is.
Well, that's an OBE.
Yeah, I've had it many times. I've gone to parallel universes. I'm pretty positive of that. But one other thing also, I'm a pilot.
You're a pilot?
Right.
Wait a minute. Didn't you tell me you've been in five air crashes?
Yes, in Southeast Asia.
Ah.
Right. We were shot down.
All right. Understand. All right.
I fly a lot of World War II equipment around. I'm a ferry pilot.
Right.
All right, and I'm type rated. And so I fly this stuff. And some of the planes I fly in, I look at their history, find out where they've been at. And I have really some of the most horrible nightmares of my life.
You're reliving some of the experiences of those who are in those planes. Planes, thank you very much, are a very haunted item. And I don't know whether all of you are following the news or not, and it's pretty sensitive stuff, but as you know, there have been many, 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 many hauntings from air crashes, and there are so many reports right now of hauntings involving the area around the crash of Flight 93. I just can't even begin to tell you, and of course, investigating that is a very sensitive thing to even contemplate. But it's all over the net, you know, in the circles that discuss this kind of thing, the haunting of the people who were on Flight 93. We will eventually be able to investigate and talk more about it, but we're still in that period in this country when that thing is so sensitive. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Mark.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's Derek in Calgary calling.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm a little bit on the breakable side, but mostly unbreakable.
Well, what leads you to believe that?
Let's see. I started when I was 16. I fell 150 feet down a snow gully, and they thought, as they pulled me off the glacier, they thought I was a goner. I hobbled out of the hospital 2 weeks later.
Yeah, 150 feet, huh?
Down a sloping snow gully.
Yep.
And slipped on a rock. Been through two avalanches, had a leader fall climbing, and the rope pulled me up short 18 inches off of a flat ledge.
Holy smokes.
I was in the service and been shot up enough. I don't know, I think I paid for my adventures, as it were. But the funny thing that came out of it all was that years later, went to visit, aged relative of, one of my aunts, and, went to visit him in the hospital, and he was close to death, and he came back, like my aunt said, he really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh.
And he said, there's something, that boy said for something special. Before I could get to talk to him again, he died.
Huh.
Talk about keeping a fool in suspense.
Well, I guess you have yet to determine what that special thing is, eh?
Actually, I have.
And that is?
Get out there and ask questions. Get out there and seek and find. And that's kind of what I've been doing. I got into some, what they call Kundalini yoga, learned how to control the nightmares, the dreams, the flashbacks, post-traumatic stress disorder, and learned how to turn my life around. Mind you, it took getting shot up a few times, blown up a few times, one avalanche. I got scooted out of the way.
Well, maybe that's the lesson you're supposed to learn, is how to control all of that.
Well, we have, I think. But unfortunately, I think sometimes you have to pay a price to really appreciate the lesson.
Oh, you absolutely do. There's a price for everything, sir. You know, the old saying, there's no free lunch, that's born of real experience. No free lunch. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Turn your radio off, please.
It's off.
Okay, where are you?
Right now I'm in Caldwell, Idaho.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
We already did that. I'm fine, and we're short on time, so let her rip.
Oh, okay. I'm not from your country, but I'm enjoying it. But I came through. I heard your station, and I dialed into it because I stopped Great Falls last night. I'm not psychic. I don't have any of these abilities or anything. I actually never seen a ghost. I've never done any of that stuff. But I woke up this morning with so many different thoughts in my mind. It was really strange. It focuses on Mount Hood. I guess that's in Washington, Oregon, somewhere over there. But apparently...
You think something is going to happen with Mount Hood?
Yeah, I think it is. It's going to explode within 5 years. And it's on the Andreas Fault. And what I get I gather out of this is that it's going to start a earthquake that's going to wipe out the West Coast.
The entire West Coast, eh?
Well...
What they call the big one.
California, Oregon, Washington.
Yep. That's what they call the big one, yes.
Yeah, well, that's we'll start it. But there's also a lot of more disturbing things, like that will bring the United States to its knees.
Well, gee whiz, for somebody who claims not to be psychic, that's quite a prediction. Listen, we're out of time. If I'm reading your accent correctly, you are a Canadian?
Absolutely, but it will open the door for the Middle East to come over. Russia will also join them, and I can partner with them will be China, and there will be people on the United States land that have never ever been here before with not good intentions, and this will happen within 12 years.
All right, sir, I appreciate as a final word tonight, the warning, the psychic warning, never before realized. That'll do it for now. Monday we'll have a replay. I'll be back Tuesday, and we're going to talk about weather control from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. Ta-ta.